very reasonable, 2.9.
Local marriage extension last year, and this includes public services increases effected from the 1st of July. All provinces except the Free State are projecting to overspend by 2 billion. The Free State is projecting to underspend by 20.4 million. Right, we find that the low level of personnel spending is in the Western Cape. Okay. Now, payment for capital assets. Yeah, slide 35 on my thing in your screen. Payment for capital assets. Education capital spending is low at 1.5 billion or 38%. However, we find that an increase of 326 0.1 million or 28.7% compared to spending last year. There's a low rate of education capital spending in the Eastern Cape at 18.2% and in the Northwest at 22.4%. Limpopo expenditure stands at 63.6% and Western Cape at 51.9%, which is the highest rate of capital spending in education. Our capital spending is at 2.3 billion or 42%, which is an increase of 20.9% compared to spending for the same period last year. 5 provinces are projecting to overspend by 232.5 million, while the remaining provinces are projecting an under expenditure of 214.2 million. A low rate of health capital spending in Mpumalanga at 29.5% and Northern Cape at 34.5%. The Free State and KwaZulu-Natal reflect the highest rate of expenditure at 69% and 49.9% respectively. Good, and then I just want to move on from there to the payment for capital assets, public works, roads, and transport in the handout of the presentation, slide 40. The biggest capital budgets in provinces are in public works, roads, and transport departments at 38.7% or 6.9 billion of the total capital budget of 17.7 billion. Spending is at 2.9 billion or 42.5%. Spending is at 47.1% or 944 million. More than the 2 billion spent last, 2 billion more spent than what was spent last year. The lowest rate of spending is recorded in Limpopo at 32% and Northern Cape at 33.6%. Western Cape and Eastern Cape recorded the highest rates of spending at 55.4% and 49.5% respectively. Actually, what we need to note, this is about the first place where Eastern Cape is showing some kind of substantial expenditure. Now moving on to the conditional grant, slide 46 in the presentation. Conditional grant budget total 39.5 billion without making up the bulk at 11.3 billion. This excludes spending on general purposes or the Schedule 4 grants such as the National Tertiary Services and Infrastructure Grants to provinces. Total budget excluding Schedule 4 grants is 18 billion against spending of 37.6% or 6.8 billion. Specific grants that show low rates of expenditure include community library services at 11.8%, HIV and AIDS life skill education grant at 25.9%, and this is a grave concern because this grant has been in existence for many years now, and it's still, I mean, the problem still persists. Landcare program grant, which is at 34.8%, the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development program at 35.3%, and the Mass Sports and Recreation Participation program at 36.7%. What we need to note is that these grants have consistently been problems with the expenditure on these grants. The spending rate, slide 47, the spending rate in terms of conditional grants, five or more provinces have spent less than 35% of their grant budgets for the following grant: land care program, community library, service grant, HIV and AIDS. Although the rate of spending is encouraging and reflects an improvement over previous financial years, overall spending still lies below the provincial total spending. And then the last slide, which shows you the expenditure of, in terms of the, yeah, that's one there. Slide 49, expenditure in terms of conditional grants. And what we need to note here, that we find that there are six provinces that have spent less than 35% in terms of the land care program grant, with the Free State spending between 35% and 45%, and the Eastern Cape and Northwest spending more than 45%. The remaining of the provinces have spent substantially low. The Arts and Culture grant, all provinces have spent below 35%. In terms of education, further education and training centers, here it isn't a true reflection, because what is shown here, not actual expenditure in terms of the ABT grant, but it's transfers, and that is what we need to take note of. But in eight of the nine provinces, there has been more than 45% transfers, with less, and only in Gauteng and Limpopo where there has been less than 35% transfers. We look at the HIV and AIDS grant. Here we also have grave concerns, which I've already pointed out. One of the things that may not be true is in terms of the National School Nutrition Program, where Limpopo says it spent less than 35%. I'm not sure whether this is a recording problem or whether it's a true reflection of what actually is happening on the ground. They have comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant. Here we find that expenditure is a little bit better than other grants, with most provinces having spent more than 35%. The forensic pathology services, here we find that KZN and Mpumalanga have spent less than 35% of the grant. And in case of this grant, we basically are rolling over all unspent funds from the last financial year. Hospital revitalization, only in Mpumalanga, is showing slower expenditure rates when compared to other provinces. And then basically the picture for the other two housing grants is what I've already said, and the mass sports and recreation grants is something that we need to take note of. The Gauteng Rapid Rail project here, I don't think that it has spent less than 35%, because if you look at what is happening, the province has been spending some equitable share, and there's three different sources of funding, or four different sources of funding that's coming in, so basically that money will be spent. Okay, thank you.
Well, the proof of the eating is in the pudding. This picture is just gloomy, considering the fact that we're talking two quarters. Now, I think there's a big problem. We tried to allow provinces the third and second quarters just to work out these things. It does appear that there are problems, I suspect. Maybe we were a bit lenient, and being lenient, we allowed people then to do all sorts of wrong things. I'm just saying this was the first quarter we did not talk to provinces deliberately, because we knew they are planning issues and so on and so on. But it does look like the picture is just becoming terrible. Let's then immediately then go to KZN MEC Nkize. You can dispute, you can confirm some of these stories.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for allowing us to come in a bit earlier. Thanks for your understanding. I will have a team that's going to take us through the presentation. But I will just comment on one or two issues. One is the issue of the capital expenditure pattern. We did find that there was a challenge last year, which was much worse than what we are seeing now. And this is where we have seen that the projects had lagged far much behind in relation to that. We have sort of gone into the issue to find out the problems. But at the core of it was a problem of poor planning and coordination, particularly with the Department of Works, so that quite a lot of projects would only start, they'll start activating them at the beginning of the financial year. And so we have now worked on a system that should be more logical of preparing everything long ahead of time so that the beginning of the year becomes an implementation date instead of it being a date when planning and those kinds of things get done. The other one was a technical problem of inappropriate use of the suspense accounts, where people would do the work and then take a long time to clear the issues, to clear the suspense account, and therefore the pattern on accounting became a bit problematic. The other one was a problem whereby the feeling with the department, particularly education, was that there was an inadequate capacity in the Department of Works because of their speed of delivery. So they engaged a couple of other service providers, Itala, and the other one was Ngeni Water, to use their extra capacity to assist in the construction of schools and classrooms and sanitation facilities. But what really became a problem there was the lack of verification expertise, so that they couldn't be paid because there was no confirmation that what they'd done was adequate and that the standards were correct. And so all of this caused a delay. So we'll try to rectify as much as possible of that. And I hope that we'll be able to deal with the issues in a slightly different way as we move forward. The second issue which I want to just talk about is there is a slide from Dr. Suklal that was talking about the overspending focus on almost all, except one province, on the education personnel expenditure. Just to say that this is an issue that we have converted by the council. It's not something that the national minister has not been brought to attention on the subject. It has been discussed and raised. Part of the problem seems to have arisen from the inadequate compensation for the fact that originally, I think when the budget was done, I think we're focusing around 6% growth on the expenditure, on the personal expenditure. When the settlement was done, it went to 7.5. Part of that, I think, is an issue that might begin to show itself as we move forward. So it's an issue that has been discussed. I think it's something that we'll be looking at together with the Department of with National Treasury as we move forward. So I think part of it arises from there. Now, there was a bit of a debate in relation to the extent to which the no work, no pay could have compensated for the days of absence. And of course, a number of provinces had put in place the recovery program. So again, some of that got offset. So it's an issue that we're dealing with, and it's not a smooth process. So I think we just need to make that point as we move, that it's an area that's going to need continuous management. At least we've got that understanding from national minister's point of view that it is something that we need to actively manage. Having said so, Chairperson, I'd like to hold at that and then ask if you could allow the team to go ahead with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank
We have got Leslie Makagula, who is going to lead the discussion.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also start by saying that you guys have not seen with what other than the point that the NEC has just made regarding the 1% above inflation and cost implications. Chairperson, I don't know if you'd want us to put the presentation on the computer or expand it to run through the hard copy. Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, we'll quickly just to look at the mid-year capital expenditure and then conditional grants and then some of the steps that we as provincial treasury use in the form of trying to monitor expenditure in our department. Chair, I think the MEC has already, if you go to slide number 3 on the presentation, the MEC has already mentioned that we have seen quite a vast improvement in education capital expenditure compared to last year. I think last year we were at worse state than any other province, if my memory serves me well. But as you'll see in that slide number 3, we are standing at about 41.4% capital expenditure. Health is the one that is showing even more, or spending at nearly 50% of the budget. Transport at 38.6% at mid-year. It's not really a serious concern. Transport has a very good delivery mechanism, so we're not too worried at this stage. Maybe we may start to worry when we look at the third quarter figures, but the trend has been always like this, and this department really accelerates the expenditure in the third and the fourth quarter. Now, if we just briefly look at a bit of analysis on slide number 5, Chairperson. As we said, as the numbers were shown in the first slide, on aggregate, the province has spent about 1.9 billion or 41.7% of the main budget on capital expenditure. And this is a marked improvement compared to the same time of last year, where we had only spent 36.6%. So it's just a substantial improvement, as it were. There is a projected over expenditure, which we'll explain a bit later how it comes about, of 194 million on capital. We go then to slide number 6, where we talk departmental expenditure. Education spent 428 million, or 41.4% of budget. And as we said earlier, it is an improvement of about 277 million. If we compare it to last year at the same time. There is a slight under expenditure which is projected under capital, and that's mainly related to machinery and some equipment, and that's really the department trying not to overshoot this capital expenditure, so there is a delay in procuring machinery within the Department of Education. Health is, as of the 30th of September, was sitting at about 50% of capital spend, which indicates to us a good spending level on this particular item. There is a projected over expenditure of 142 million, and that relates to the two main conditional grants which we'll talk about later, Chairperson, and that's the hospital revitalization and the forensic pathology services grant. Transport enjoys the largest capex in the province. Their expenditure, as I said earlier, is just about 39% of budget. And as I said, we've noticed similar trends, so we are not too worried about that department as yet. There's a slight negligible over expenditure, which is projected at 210,000, but that's really neither here nor there. Other departments that will include all other smaller departments like agriculture, as far as CAPEX is concerned, and other departments, they are showing a very moderate expenditure on CAPEX at 31.5%. There have been sort of capital projects that have not really taken off, one of which is the multi-purpose community center that's managed by the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs. there is a projected over expenditure in agriculture, Chairperson, and that has to do with the project around the development of a mushroom base to provide storage facility for the program of mushroom planting. This was not budgeted for, but the department identified it as a priority, so they would want to then create this structure where there would be storage facilities for the mushrooms that get harvested from a whole range of projects that are community-based. So, but despite that projected over expenditure, the department, all departments that would, that seem to have pressures have indicated to us that they will be utilizing the request for rollovers to, sorry, environment rather, my apologies, environment to offset the expenditure pressures on the capital side. If we look at the expenditure by economic classification, you'll see that the largest, obviously, food expenditure there is indeed on buildings and other structures at 44.5%, machinery and equipment 31.4%, and then other at 91.2%. Maybe, Chairperson, I don't think it's necessary to go bullet by bullet on the analysis on economic classification, but the bottom line that we see here is that on the actual physical infrastructure, the expenditure has really improved in the province. Now, if we then go to slide number 10, where the picture changes, not 100%, but maybe up to 50%, there are about 4 grants that we will highlight in here, and as you can see on the extreme right of the table on page from slide number 10, that's where you pick up the expenditure problem on each and every grant. If you then flip over to slide number 11, where the analysis is done, and the reason has given you, gives a better picture. So we have excluded the apologies for naming this grant wrongly. I think it changed now to infrastructure grant for provinces, no longer a provincial infrastructure grant. It's excluded in this analysis, Chairperson. There are 4 grants in the province where expenditure has been less than a quarter of budget. The first one is the comprehensive agricultural support, standing at 14%. The land care program, standing at 19%. The HIV and AIDS for life skills run by education, 12%. And then the community library services grant, 24%. Other grants where there is also a fairly low expenditure, if you were to use a straight line projection, is the National School Nutrition Program, the hospital revive, and then the forensic pathology services grant. And I think Dr. Sutlan spoke about this. Appears as though, at least for the forensic pathology, it's like a national problem. Now, as I said earlier, there is a projected over expenditure in health, and that is now going to be sorted out, I think, with the approval of the rollover that has been requested, as mentioned by Dr. Kutla. Now, if we go to each of these grants per department, we start with agriculture on slide number 12, Chairperson. The low expenditure on cars can be attributed to a number of things, but the main one, in our assessment, has really been the effect of our intervention as provincial treasury in the Department of Agriculture. You are probably aware, Chairperson, of the intervention that treasury had to make to at least fix the budget of that department, which had for at least 2 years been overspent. And I think that intervention brought in a sense of caution in expenditure in the department, and that has affected the grants in particular.
Excuse me, Chairperson, maybe just to explain a little bit more on the subject. I think the members would be aware that we have had disclaimers on that department for a few years in succession, and therefore last year we intervened and got to investigate the details of what was underneath. In the process of those findings, a decision was taken that the head of department will receive disciplinary, proceedings against him. But then he subsequently resigned. But in the process, before he had resigned, there were about four senior managers who had been suspended. And so the MEC had to try and bring some of those back. And again, I think there's still a lot of unsettled issues because there have been new suspensions. And in the process of trying to stabilize the department, they still don't have the required contingent of senior managers to take the necessary decisions. And so every now and again you will find that there will be interruptions as a result of trying to deal with the shortfalls of the previous managers and also issues relating to the new manager. So it's going to remain an unstable boat for a while. I think we must just be upfront. We hope to be able to get rid of the disclaimers. We realized that it was not possible up to then, and then we're still hoping that the process will stabilize in a few months to come.
Maybe it's not functioning properly. I don't know. I've always been speaking to it. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to come even closer. Okay. Thanks, MEC, for that comment. I think it also would explain the low expenditure as well on the land care grant. But what compounds the land care grant, I think, is the approach that agriculture has taken together with land affairs to try and focus the land care projects, to focus them on the projects that are under the restitution. So there's always that relationship. As a result, it might result in some delays in the actual expenditure. The department has sort of put together what they call a high-performance team to try and really fix the problem of expenditure on this particular fund. We at Treasury are also awaiting a report from the Department of Agriculture on Thursday as we meet them at MTEC, which details the steps that they will take to accelerate expenditure. I must just add, Chairperson, that as far as CAF is concerned, though, there is a slight dispute that has arisen. National Agriculture has threatened to, in fact, I think they haven't even threatened, they did not transfer a particular tranche for comprehensive agricultural support program because, according to them, the rules of the game have not been abided by the Department of Agriculture. We have then requested a full report on this, which we've got, and the report disputes the claim by National Agriculture. The department claims that they have fully complied with all the requirements from the business plan to reporting requirements as per DORA. So now what the Department of Agriculture has then done is to send the same report back to National Agriculture. The hope then is that this is the result once that report reaches National Agriculture. Slide number 13, FET recap grant, a total allocation of 58 million has already been transferred to the FET colleges at mid-year, but the actual expenditure within the colleges themselves is just under 50%. So we don't just report on the transferred amount, we also report on the actual expenditure on the recap for FETs by the colleges themselves, sitting at just under 50%. On the HIV and AIDS grant still under education, there is a low expenditure there, 12% of budget, and whether this low expenditure can only be explained by the industrial action or not, we don't quite know, but we do understand that the 21 days lost would have affected the grant like this one in particular, largely because after that you have to then implement a recovery plan, which will basically eat up the time that you would utilize in dealing in delivering on this particular program on HIV/AIDS, because all the school holidays and weekends would now be utilized on the recovery plan. So that is the explanation we've gotten from the department to explain why this particular grant has been understood. It's just the ripple effect of the industrial action. And that's the same as well with the National School Nutrition Program. You couldn't eat kids that were not basically in that issue here. As far as the health conditional grants, the three grants are on target. The comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, the health professional training and development, 52%, and then the National Patient Services grant at 52%, so there are no red flags there, Jefferson. Then on the forensic pathology services, there is an issue. As you will see, that the spending stands at 31%. And we still can't quite get our fingers on the pulse on this one, because once you have a project of this nature where two national departments are involved, they are bound to be delayed. So the issue around recruiting people who would have originally been within the SAPS's payroll has proven to be a real difficulty. There have also been changes slightly within the health family on the actual specifications of these mortuaries, such that they are sometimes are not even able to utilize SAPS's premises, but they would rather develop mortuaries outside SAPS. We were told even yesterday at our MTEC hearing as well that even the issue of ownership still is an issue. Now, this is the area that needs quite a bit of follow-up, I think, at other forums where the two departments discuss this. I think it's probably about time that Treasury is also get involved. But as far as the department is concerned, they are sure, they are assuring us that this setting will change in the next 2 quarters. And how is it going to change? They are proposing to utilize the same methodology that the Department of Education utilizes, which is called the Fast Track Program. So not just using the traditional way of delivering infrastructure, but really fast-tracking the delivery, utilizing other agents to deliver on this grant. And that will be for the two, the forensic pathology as well as the hospital revitalization grant. So if we go to slide number 15, we explain a little bit on the revitalization grant, chapter 10. Some of the reasons given for the delay on this one is the site of one of the hospitals, which is called King George V Hospital, which does not really allow for multiple phases of the revitalization program to take place. So you need to stagger these things in a sequence. You can't run processes of construction in parallel. So if there's a delay in one phase, then it delays the rest of the project. But we do note also that the procurement is not always timeless, which means that the IDIP program has not really been internalized within the Department of Health, as it were. We are aware, though, that they have been inducted on the IDIP and that the technical assistance team is in the department now, I think, but less than 2 months since they have been there. So we hope that as soon as IDIP is fully internalized, this pattern will change. Chairperson, on the housing side, is slide number 16. Expenditure there is at 42% of budget. There has been an improvement if we compare this to the first quarter, but there have been some initial delays in implementing, but the Department of Housing projects to spend the budget in full. They did exactly the same last year. The budget was fully spent, in fact, even slightly over Chairperson. On the arts, culture, and tourism, particularly the community library services grant, also low expenditure at 24% of budget. department indicates that this will increase in the third and the fourth quarter because there have been delays in finalization of the business plan. And then the IT portion of the project as well, there was a delay in appointing the project manager. But the department says that this will change in the third and the fourth quarter. Lastly, Chairperson, on the conditional grant, the MEF Sports and Recreation conditional grant, and the expenditure there is on track, and I think we saw the same last year, so we're not too worried there. There have been slight delays in expenditure due to delivery of equipment that was not as the standard by the suppliers, which resulted in them not being paid, so they had to re-deliver, if there's a word like that, at a later stage, and they've done that. So we're not too worried about that particular conditional grant. Last but not least, then, Chairperson, we just would like to confirm to the House today that Provincial Treasury really does close monitoring of expenditure and evaluates this expenditure, particularly using the tools that we have, which is the in-year monitoring system, the quarterly meetings with all the HODs affected with our Treasury, and really, in these meetings, we really are assessing the actual performance. It's not just about the actual expenditure, as you see in the numbers, but it's the questions of what is this by opposed to the department. We also utilize those sessions as areas, as sessions to point out the risks that face the department from your potential over expenditure to your potential under expenditure. We utilize these quarterly meetings to discuss those. We also submit to our provincial executive every quarter. We submit an expenditure report, and it's that report that the provincial executive as well as the legislature utilize those reports to then interrogate departments even further. In conclusion, then, Chairperson, we can safely say that as at mid-year, really, CAPEX in the province has shown quite a decent improvement compared to last year. We'll continue monitoring that. So what it suggests that is that, at least in some departments, the whole IT approach is bearing some good barring health at this stage. So we just need to monitor that vigorously. Chairperson, I think I will stop here.
Thank you very much. Questions?
I think, Chair, much as I have listened perhaps convincingly to the question of the projected overspending when the MEC was explaining in terms of education, where he put the reason as far as the question of personnel, I think. He declines with personnel in particular. But I really can't reconcile this low expenditure, especially with HIV programs as well as national school nutrition. I don't know whether it's my ignorance. I find it difficult to reconcile that. Change. Thank you. But I have to check if there is any way then of making sure that those programs are not compromised, because it means the lives of the children have to be improved. Thank you.
No. In fact, part of the discussion we might need to do, because this relates to, it's a conditional grant that goes straight from the national department to the province. Now, the withholding powers in the Division of Revenue Act by the national transferring officer. I think those are some of the kinds of discussions, because you are right, there's a problem with almost all the conditional grants in KZN. So clearly, we must find a way of just also tightening the division of revenue, how do people ensure, because I think issues of accountability must be, how do you strengthen the provincial treasury oversight on conditional grants, for instance? I think you are right, because I was also worried by that, Mr. Porter.
Yes, thank you very much, and appreciate also the presentation. Yes, the answer of the whole presentation is in the last 2 pages, monitoring and conclusion. Here in regarding, and I see this is quarterly meeting between heads of treasury, senior provincial, national treasury official, department, I've also asked the question, and you know that the Auditor General said, it's not only when there's problems in the department to blame the HOD and the CFO, but also what in the regarding of this, what is the political commitment into this department where it's underspending, overspending and something. Here is a very, also a very serious issue. And you can have meetings and you can have reports. But in that meetings and that reports, is there time frames to say that must happen then and then and then and then? You know, you can submit a report and 6 months later, the same report is submitted again. But what is done in the meeting and in terms of time? What is the real actions taken in time frame situation? You know, this is certain issues, but I can't understand it. The business plans must be always submitted the previous year for this financial year. And then still, you're coming on the second quarter of year two. And then we still said we submit, we're monitoring, we do this, we do that. Because that must be take action. And I would like to see in any of these things who are going not according to life, there must be time frames and the actions be taken in regarding to say, the first quarter, that happened. Second quarter, that was the intervention, and that was the result. The third quarter, last quarter, the same. You can submit, and as I said, the answer is in the last 2 pages of liberty. But my question is, what is the real intervention, politically, through the process? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sir President. It's long, but I'll cover it. I think that maybe there's something that, as Comrade Kuring says, that we do appreciate the question of the strike, hoping that that there will be improvement on a number of these areas at the end of the third quarter. But what worries, Chair, is that on the side of the output, there's under expenditure. On the side of personnel, there's over expenditure. Not only in KZN, but in a number of what you call across provinces. And I don't understand why perhaps that is the case. But also for KZN, what worries me is about the roads. I like the advert of KZN, and I say Alpha. But and the program that they have won the awards, national awards, in terms of your labor-intensive program. But this year, I think that we have a problem when they are at 38%, and we think that there can be over expenditure. I really don't know how Chairperson can, whether in that terms of over expenditure, there's going to be concrete delivery on the ground, and how do we think that we're going to achieve the 38% is the over expenditure. It is a bit worrying, what you call it, Chairperson. But also, I think that the point that the MEC was raising about in future, in terms of planning. I think MEC raises the issue of planning. We're dealing with MTS now. We should know exactly what we want to do next year. We know now. But it looks like treasury, there's still a problem around planning. And I'm not sure why is that there's a problem. But also, it's good that the KZN Treasury has noted also this fact. But what is it that exactly we're doing? How can we overcome this problem of planning and continuous planning? But lastly, it's around the Department of Agriculture, where we appreciate also the challenges that they are encountering as far as the Department of Agriculture is concerned, but hoping that very soon, I think that things will be put in place so that at least agriculture in that province can start running, because I think that in case of agriculture is also very important, and we can't afford, especially for in these conditional grants, which are designed for just poor people to have access to service delivery. In terms of assessing your agricultural, what you call it, product, I think that there's a need that maybe whatever challenge, problems that are there, at least KZN try to act as quickly as possible to address those issues. We do appreciate the fact that if there's a problem at senior level, well, obviously, that can lead to the morale being low at lower levels of the department. But I think that, as Comrade Daniel was saying, that maybe there's a need from the leadership to ensure that the people of KZN don't lose out in this program. Thank you, Chairperson.
Rather a comment than a question. Chair, we do appreciate the presentation as well as the focus that is being applied, that quarterly meetings are being held to view this matter. But Chair, if we look at slide 13 of KZN Education, I think we find here some kind of a helpful focus, where not only the transfer funds are reported on, but what has been expended at the FBG colleges. But we would wish, if possible, if also would be able to have some focus of what is it that these amounts being spent on, seeing this, that these are nationally set objectives by way of a conditional grant. So the conditional grant is being sent to the provinces for a particular purpose. Are these objectives, nationally set objectives, being met at those colleges or not? Because more often than not, we merely see figures. We want to know how are we developing in meeting the nationally set norm. Chairperson, bearing in mind also that we spend a lot of resources and the highest amount in education. What have we got to show for these resources?
Recently, the United Nations released a report, what they call Human Development Index. The country that spends the highest amounts by budget in Africa on education, when its capacity academically is assessed, it doesn't match the kind of resources that's expended. It's a bigger challenge that we've got to come to it. We are not necessarily pushing forward the goalpost, but I think it's a crucial question to value it. Thank you, Chair.
Well, let's also welcome the Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Land Affairs. Of course, he's not part of the discussion. He's looking for some reading material here. It's a good thing that he came when we were also discussing the problems in the conditional grants that relate to agriculture and underperformance. And let's then allow the MEC to respond and his team.
Thanks, Chairperson. I don't propose to do the Chairperson's work. I thought there was one more hand. Maybe we could finish them off and then I can just do one response.
You are fortunate. You are standing right in front of the MEC. He's able to see. Right.
I'm also campaigning for votes there.
He's going to cross the door to the best performing IMC. He's going to cross the door. Yes. He's going to come this way. Thank you so much, Chairperson, and I thank our MDC for his presentation. And please excuse me for coming late. There is some problem. Now, I'm looking at page 13 on Zanda Education. The question of increasing the number of training days. Perhaps there we can also look at increasing cooperation between the departments, because we have this problem of HIV/AIDS. The orphans who have got to get under the school program. So then we need to cooperate better with the Department of Social Development and Agriculture as well, then to promote the planting of gardens. There is a process that is being tried when it has been tried, but it's been revitalized. That's not what I got from our Minister of Agriculture. The planting of mushrooms is quick to plant and easy to use. And children must learn to help themselves under such programs. Because we cannot always say the government. But the children must be taught how to help themselves. Well, we also look at the extension officers, the way they perform. If one goes to their offices, one finds that there is a bit of low morale. Perhaps if we revert to the program we have.
Remember the, in terms of the MTVBS,
yes.
The extension officer is going to be in place, so don't worry about that discussion now.
Yes.
Okay.
But then if we use them, okay, so I thought that. Okay, thank you.
I thought I understand why MEC would want to close it.
Thank you. No, I'll finish that discussion outside. Thanks. Thank you very much. Chairperson, we will certainly look into this issue again of the HIV school nutrition and focus on it as we move forward. We take the point that the colleagues are making. I may well just throw one other issue in it, although I'm not sure how much of a factor it is. There's a huge dispute between suppliers and the department. Now, we didn't want to bring that issue so much because it's more an internal issue. But the dispute arises from the kind of policy issue. I think there are certain concerns the government has about the nature of billing and the quality and so on of food on the one side. On the other side, there's been a very strong shift towards using cooperatives to do the supplies. So the cooperatives have been given attention insofar as the payments are concerned. This other group have actually lodged the complaints last week, where to convene a meeting where the heads of Department of Education and Treasury had to sort of sit down and listen to the issues because they were getting fairly explosive. I'm not too sure how much of that can account for some of the delay. I think it's a combination of a number of issues. It will not be just one issue, but these other two issues in terms of how they could have affected the attendance at schools, we believe that they've got a contribution. The second comment was made by, I think, Honorable Bosa. I think it was more of a comment, although in the long term, it does raise an interesting debate as well. Sitting as we do where we are, the question of political accountability, it's a day-to-day responsibility of the MEC in charge of the line function. Now, on the one hand, the fact that the PFMA has given all the authority to the accounting officer to look at the expenditures and determine where and how they'll be spending and the rate of expenditure and all that does mean that there is a bit of a limitation to the extent to which Treasury can intervene more directly other than what we're currently doing. But if you have to be a bit more innovative about it, you don't want to run into a situation where you've got a clash of responsibilities. We have had the same debate with ourselves and the IAG, and the issue was that all along, of course, we know the accounting officers would run the department and there's no problem. But from last year, when we noticed that there is a problem with the financial management and all that, what we ended up doing was to actually get the executive to sit down and set targets of how each of those departments, what to expect in terms of audit outcomes by at the end of the year, which meant that it then doesn't just become a line function issue only, it becomes a collective responsibility problem from the point of view of the Premier and Cabinet. Part of the results we are seeing are arising from that. So I think it's an area which we need to talk about. It's probably going to be an issue of the culture as well. How do we do the work across the different departments? Can Treasury realistically respond to everything, even on issues that in fact are supposed to be line function responsibilities? It's a debate, I think. That's why I say I just understand what the colleague is saying. Then I'm going to ask Mr. Magagula to comment on the issue of the over expenditure and so on in personnel. I'll just throw another wild one on this one, and that is to say, without getting into this debate, to say that Department of Education, I think it's a problem that we face almost throughout the country, but certainly we have had this experience. The issue of figures is very difficult. To actually say how many teachers are you paying? I'm just not being very uncaring about these comments. I'm just saying that it's actually a serious thing. How many teachers? Sometimes how many students? Those figures can be fairly elusive. There's a problem there to deal with all this issue of post teachers and all that and all that. So it is an issue that does require continuous attention. The issue of roads, again, we will deal with the department and discuss with them and see. But to be honest, Magagula does have my sympathies in terms of the faith he's got with the Department of Transport. Last year, we were going towards the end of the year. We looked through, and this has also been one of the things that we did. Maybe just as to respond to what Mr. Porter was saying. Last year, we went to a couple of departments, and we realized they're not spending properly. We took 100 million from the one department, and we put in transport. They finished spending that money. They did very well. They didn't expect it, but they used it as though they originally had it. Now, that intervention is not a very healthy intervention if you get involved in it. And that's why I'm saying, where do you draw the line? You know, Treasury must not come in and run the affairs of departments, take this money, take that money. You know? It does come to that at the end of it, whether direct or indirect. So that's a debate with myself. On the other hand, transport does perform well. I mean, it's not a favorite department or some sort, but it's performance. So if we go to them and ask them, 38% fellows, do you think you'll make it? Otherwise, we'll take the money. You might just find that you run short of the money at the end for them to run. So I think it's a good concern to raise. We go back to them and say to them, fellows, red lights are showing. What's happening? So that's, I think, what he's trying to say, that we will deal with them, and we're not too worried with that. We don't think that is correct, that that's where they should be. But we're saying they've been able to rise to the challenge, and therefore we don't have a problem. They've got a whole program. I mean, the difficulty with this department is when we said to them, they say to us, we spend as much as we have. Not that we spend as much as we need. And if you ask them how much they need, then there is a debate that you rather not get into. So I'm again understanding and comfortable. So we will get back to them and discuss. But we're not very uneasy with that department. Then this thing of MTF and planning, I don't know where the problems arise, but there was a phobia of some sort that departments would be a little reluctant to make a commitment on the budget that they don't have. Unless you've got the money in your pocket, you can't advertise for somebody to start the job, and therefore you have to wait until you are sure the money is in your pocket. That's why I think that's been part of the problem. You always have that difficulty from the civil service point of view. But nevertheless, I agree that it needs to be dealt with. But it is not like things never change. I mean, we have had an interesting case, I think colleagues from Northwest or Northern Cape would know, where suddenly there was a change of something of some sort, and then they were a bit stuck with equipment, plants on site and all that and all that. That one example is not like an explanation for everybody, but I think that explain some of the phobia sometimes you get with the civil service at that level. Then I agree again with the issue of the importance of agriculture, the fact that we can't continue to delay. We actually sent the whole team to agriculture to go and re-look at the systems and deal with it. They were there for about 4 or 5 months. The whole team, especially secondly from the Department from Treasury, starting from one was acting as an accounting officer, and so we literally took over and got this running. But the problem really right now is that to get the correct leadership in the department, you've got to deal with all the outstanding cases, all the accusations, and to make it worse then, out of those who were suspended, who are now going through disciplinary process, new officials have been suspended. Which basically means that if you felt that you would have solved the problem, it would have taken you a few months, but it's going to be extended a little bit more by the numbers of officials and the time it should take to deal with them. So it's again an area which you need to deal with, as it were. Without getting into all the difficulties, the details of what's going on in there. I again, interesting, Honorable Mkhariki, on the question of the what is the money being spent on. We will need to get guidance. It's certainly important to do that, but on the other hand, we also need to get guidance in terms of the amount of information needed by the committee vis-à-vis what we believe is the role of Treasury and what information Treasury needs to be presenting. It may well be that you might actually want to come along with the people from education and say, can they elaborate on the subject, and then you might want to do that. But on the other hand, I do agree, again, that we need to deal with the issue of what is the money buying. I don't again want to get us into the issue, but it is not only education, and this goes to a much more strategic debate. It's not only education where you would be saying that the amount of money that we're spending on a particular program, does it deliver to us what it delivers to other countries? It's also a matter of systems, and also it's a matter of I don't know. And I think a lot of things go into it, but it's even health. If you look at the mortality figures that we have here, compared to how much we invest in the health of the nation, you can't compare with some of the countries in the world. So it's not an issue of micromanagement of departments. I think we're dealing with a strategic issue which, at a different level, needs to be dealt with and faced. Well, the point that I think has been made, it's a serious point. Where do we spend our money in education? Are we spending it on focusing on the knowledge transmission to the individual, or focusing on something else? I don't know. The numbers of people that we produce, are they in any case adequate? And of course, the issue of skills mismatch has always been spoken about. Compared to what we need, are we producing, what are we producing, and all of those issues. And do we, we adjusted our education to focus on solving the problems of unemployment and underemployment? Are we able to do that? Because we put money, for example, 2 years ago to educate to FETs, and they said that, well, we want them to train cooperatives. They started that program, and somewhere along the line, we started having another tension with them, because they said, oh, this year, how do you continue training? Where is the money? We said, but it should be in your budget now. They said, oh, but that's your program. Now and then we said, but that's your responsibility to train. You see? So you will get these issues coming up now and again, and it's a question of saying, how do you approach this subject? And therefore, I think once you are raising are issues that we're very happy you are raising, because maybe you'll raise it in the right level of leadership to say what exactly are we doing and what do we really hope to get out of this. Yes, the issue of leading schemes, I mentioned that we're trying to engage the cooperatives. The idea is to get the feeding scheme program to be aligned to the activities in the particular community so that people can produce and sell at schools, and the children must be fed off produce that's coming from the community gardens. And I can just confirm that those mushrooms are very nice, actually. I've tasted them. So, but the extent to which they can be replicated right across, I don't know. It's an issue that you can check with the education, with the Department of Agriculture, as it were. But it's also an important issue for us. Not now. 13 years ago, when this program started, that's exactly where we're trying to go. But then you've got problems of efficiency, it needs to be there all the time, and the communities are not well organized, etc., etc. So the thing kept shifting and shifting and shifting. That's why I mentioned the fact that there is this tension between suppliers. Well, suppliers, if they have their way, all they'll do is to give you a package of nutritionally proven biscuits and juice that's got calories calculated, minerals, and all the trace minerals, trace elements in there, counted and everything, and give it to you. and then all you need is one supplier to deal with several districts, and that's it. But in this case, that's not really what we want to do. What we want to do is to get the feeding scheme to be an empowerment program to stimulate small businesses and small agriculturalists in the villages. So I'll say the approach is correct, just that to move from what we want and to the point of what we are hoping to achieve, there's a big gap, because in between there's also PSMA, and the two need to be very careful how you weave your way through. Chairperson, thank you very much, and I hope you will excuse us to sneak out as you proceed with your meeting. Thank you.
And let's just say for KZN, one, then let's really welcome your intervention with agriculture. And I think we will have to monitor that improvement going forward. But number two, let's also ask you just to go back. Because there is a lesson we learned in the last financial year, and that relates to the credibility of the projections, especially the overspending projections, just to be a bit tighter there. Certainly public works. Rather, let's again go back and deal with public works in respect of section 14.3, Roman 2, where in allocating your provincial infrastructure grant there, it is clear that what is that must be done. May where a receiving provincial department lacks capacity, designate an amount not exceeding 4% of the location for acquiring such a capacity to facilitate service delivery. But B, which is also critical, the percentage referred to in subsection 3A2 must be informed by the capacity plan prepared by them. In other words, the provincial public works, and approved by yourself. So clearly those two things must just be your priority, I think, as the provincial treasury. Firstly, that allocation, just to ensure that they build capacity. But two, the business plan that they must present and present to yourself so that you are able to approve it going forward. But then the other thing that I think you need to be looking at, I think personally we will all be watching, especially in respect of the recovery plan. It's a risk that all of us must be watching very carefully. And then the other matter that we must look at, which really is raised in the MTBBS, it relates to the savings on travel, etc., etc. We're interested in this investigation of travel, invoices that you are looking at. It's a very critical matter. It's on your page 13 here, KZN Education. That the second court invoices were not processed precisely because of, I think it's a huge thing that you must do. And I'm not sure. I think these are things that I think we're saying KZN must just go and focus on. But then broadly, all the other matters, I think Mr. Makabula was right. We will not be overly concerned about your transport specialist, precisely because we shall have to watch their performance. Again, there is an experience about Northern Cape, when almost, in fact, all the other provinces held hospital revival cut, precisely because Northern Cape seems to be performing well at the time. And all of a sudden, the Northern Cape Health is the worst performer now. So clearly, KZN must be watching clearly, therefore, road. KZN, let's not assume. We know their capacity, we're not sure what could happen, just what would be the risks in terms of those matters, so that we monitor them. I think they should not just go down in terms of their performance. And I thank you very much, MEC, for the input. We will be watching all of these matters, clearly all of us. Let's take MEC now. Eastern Cape. Let's then allow the MEC and his team to leave at that request.
Chairman, thank you very much.
before MEC goes, let me just say the commonalities between KZN, not as you walk out. No, just to say the commonalities in KZN and the Eastern Cape, it's uncanny, where we hit the wall sometimes. I think it's the size of the budget and the province and the challenges we have. Chairperson, I brought with me Modlo Kalamash on my right hand side and Mike Fraser on my left hand side. They are the two wise men. So if there's any questions I can't answer, then they will answer on my behalf. But let me start off saying that Eastern Cape is synonymous with a slow pickup of budget. And we'll get to the reasons of that just now. And all it means is bad planning. And it's wrong to do that. But let me just refresh our memory saying that last year the Eastern Cape was third of the nine provinces on their budget spend, and the year prior to that joint second with KZN. And with a budget, the third biggest budget of the nine provinces, the 31.8 billion there. It's quite an achievement. This year, as I say, sir, we are getting there. We have a few surprises under education and housing, but we have structures in place to address that. So we achieved last year a 98% spend on our budget, which is roughly, we underspend by about 400 million. And I think national allows you about 1.7%, which they say is an acceptable norm. It's not an easy thing to do, and I'm sure that this year the pickup of the spending will materialize, and we will achieve our goal. But the reasons for that, or the what you need to do, I think is more important, is proper strategic planning in the department, better alignment of budgets with strategic plans and targets, and of course, the achievable cash flow. Those three issues are paramount in trying to achieve your goal. But sir, the big question, and this is one of the interesting things with KZN and also MEC McKeithy mentioned, if departments do not perform, what can Treasury actually do about that? Now we know how it operates, but if you see, we don't appoint their personnel, and we try and train, and we monitor, and we make sure that service delivery takes place, but it's a catch-22 situation. We have an oversight function, and Section 18, page 28 of the PFMA actually spells it out, what the musts are for provincial treasurers. And lastly, it says, and may do anything further that is necessary to fulfill its responsibilities effectively. Now, that sounds easy, but we submit a budget to the legislature, and they ring-fence part of our budget, saying they want credible plans. I'm just saying, case scenario, we are 18 months behind on where we should be in the Eastern Cape. If we could have achieved or done what we wanted to do 2 years ago. So, Treasury has awesome powers, but it stops short of hiring and firing deadwood in departments that don't deliver on the government's mandate. Underspending is sometimes hidden for years. Now that we have tightened the belt and made and built capacity, it's as if all the worms are coming out and we find many strange things happen. In our province, education, health and housing are the ones that we have major challenges around, but we will get it right. And we are taking action in assisting them to build capacity. Now, you may ask, what have we done? We've incorporated a CMO support program of 14 posts, of which 7 have been filled. These are all qualified CAs, which we are using in the departments to assist them. One of the ironies is some of the departments don't even have a CFO, and they rely on Treasury to look after that function. We've instituted a centralized electronic suppliers database, which kicks in on the 15th of November. The service provider has been found, and we've signed a contract with them. And we are very anxious to see this, because that will eliminate a lot of the fraud and a lot of irregularities with the service providers to the government. We're also busy with an own revenue study to improve income, and that project will be allocated this month. Sorry, this is just a high view overview. Sorry, but I made my own notes, that's why I'm reading them. Okay. And we're busy with a municipal viability study. You will know, and the contract has been awarded, that 22 of our 49 municipalities have financial challenges, and the service provider started in October. Our vacancy rate in Treasury is down from 60% 3 years ago down to 17%. So we have built enormous capacity, and we are still in the process of advertising and appointing more staff. The Eastern Cape has become a training ground for a lot of public servants who move on to other provinces. We know that, and interesting thing, I was told yesterday, that a lot of people are applying in the Eastern Cape from other provinces, which is a good sign that people want to move to the Eastern Cape, because the debate is around the morale of the public servants in the Eastern Cape. You might know, and you read the media, they like to use us as the whipping boy at the best of times. So the nature and structure of the public service does not allow a quick fix like in the private sector. It is a process, and it takes 2 to 3 years to turn it around. We started off with eliminating the debt that we had, and now it's capacity building at a furious rate, and we are getting there. The other issue that MEC McKinsey mentioned, which is so relevant, is the suspense accounts in departments. You will be amazed, Jay, how these suspense accounts are used to hide and to do strange and wonderful things. If one looks at the education department, we've gone through restructuring with the new MEC, and a lot of things are happening. The two biggest underspenders at the half-year mark was education on just roughly 773 million, and housing on 420, 430, I can't remember the exact figure. So those are our big challenges. And we are busy looking at what more to do, except building capacity in those departments and assisting them to make sure. The challenge in most departments and most provinces is people with financial capacity. They transversal skills, so the people get used in the private sector, they move on, they go up the ladder. We don't have a problem with that, but that is the main focus area of our. We have the PSA, it's a leg of the Fort Hare University, which assists us in training our public servants. So, Chair, with that, I will answer all the questions that come my way. I'd like to hand over to Mr. Kalamash to give you the technical insight into the understanding of the Eastern Cape. I thank you.
Kalamash, John, have to repeat what the FSU has said. Just get to the bad things. Thank you, sir. No, I'm not going to repeat what MSU has said. Chairperson, the focus of our presentation is on conditional grants and infrastructure as was requested in the invitation. And we also look at interventions that Treasury is making to remedy the unseemly tendencies in the expenditure trends. Now I will quickly then take you to maybe to slide 4 on page 2. I hope that we all have this presentation, PowerPoint presentation. I've also tabled the formal report that gives you the details and specifics of what I'm presenting here. And Chairperson, we're not sure whether the first bullet of what we needed to prepare was focusing thing on audit outcomes for the 06-07 year or the budget outcomes. So we've also attached the audit outcomes for Eastern Cape. Yes. So I will not talk to those documents. I will just focus on the presentation itself. Yes. Chairperson, as we all know, the budget of Eastern Cape is 31.4 billion. Of which 3.7 billion is conditional grant, 3.8 billion is conditional grant, and 3.7 is conditional grant, and 3.8 is infrastructure. Now, looking at page 3, slide 5, the expenditure picked up very slowly in the first quarter, but there has been a marked improvement in the second quarter, because in the first quarter we had 429 million against projection of 749, as was projected by the department in the section 40 report. Now we recorded therefore an under expenditure of 320 million for conditional grant in the first quarter. But in the second quarter we have got expenditure standing at 822 million against the projection of 599 million. So there was some recovery of 222 million and leaving us at about 150 million in terms of the expenditure trends compared to the projections, because we're using that approach to monitor our expenditure. Now, in terms of infrastructure, again, we started very slow. I think we're sitting at 91 million in April, but in September we are standing at 377 million. And in a sense, with some over expenditure recorded on the transport sector, that is slide number 6. Now, in terms of the figures themselves, on slide number 7, we brought in the 06-07 outcomes in terms of expenditure. But I will not talk to that, safe to say that we had 3 worst performing grants last year. National Schools Nutrition Program, we understand by 95 million. And Forensic Pathology Services, we understand by 52 million. And the Integrated Housing and Human Settlement Development Grant, we understand by 124 million. This year, there are signs of improvement in respect of the first grant, that is the school nutrition and the forensic pathology. We're still meeting some challenges on the housing grant, as we'll see in the slides that will follow. Now, slide number 8, it gives you the expenditure trends of each grant, as I've indicated. We started at 72 million. The figure increased to 107 million in May. In June, it was 249 million. And in July, 318. And then we dropped a little bit in August, 261. But we also dropped in September at 242. So as at the end of September, the actual expenditure stood at 1.2 billion of the 2.7 billion budget. Now on slide number 9, I would want to apologize, Chairperson, I think the first two figures in the table, I think the actual transfers from national, because this is what we use to record as projections, the figure should be 331,427,000, and the 701 should be 3155. That gives you a figure of about 1.4 billion, for which 1.2 billion has been spent, so recording therefore an under expenditure for that period of 192 million or 87% of the actual amount that has been transferred by National Treasury to the province. Now the slide number 10 gives you the under expenditure, that is the difference between what was transferred by National and what was actually spent for each grant by month, and therefore this is how you get to the figure that should be 192 million, if you collect the first two figures in that table. In terms of infrastructure, Chairperson, on slide number 11, we We have got infrastructure in health, roads, education, agriculture, public works, social development, sports, and also housing. And as I've indicated to you, we're standing at 1.4 billion and having started very low in April and having encouraging figures and trends in September. And in a sense, we are of the view that infrastructure is progressing well, but we do have problems with education. And generally, there are a lot of problems around the education and procurement and actually they are planning. And actually, the general capacity of the departments to actually run with this program. But we are taking education higher in our monitoring agenda. And in terms of the monitoring plans, Chairperson, we are building upon the standard things that treasuries are mandated to do in terms of using the IYM to monitor departments, having a regular interrogation sessions with the departments. But we have picked up that there's a problem again. It would be appearing that we'll be repeating what KZN has said. In terms of planning in making sure that if you have got new projects that are coming on board in terms of new budget, you don't wait until the budget is passed for you to start doing the things that do not really require a budget. For instance, starting with your specifications, bid specifications, and taking through the procurement earlier stages of your procurement process. Because we find that departments, as late as September, they are still on tender stage of the project. Some of the projects requiring more than 6 months or 7 months to materialize. And with that normal lag between the delivery of the project and the actual payment of cash, taking maybe any time between 1 month to 2 months. So we picked up that is mostly the reason for low spending in departments. And this is an area that we are focusing on. But unfortunately, we almost like targeting next year, next budget cycle, for that to make sure that as early as January, all the procurement issues have been taken care of. But also we have also checked the issue of suggesting that we think that the departments tend to have the manifest and start to think about the details of planning, having got the money. And this is an area as well whereby maybe we want to have a better focus in terms of understanding the budget at a much detail than what is covered in the normal budget protocols in terms of the connect classification and the program, in terms of understanding and actually isolating projects that are likely to go through these procurements and the issues of recruitment to make sure that there are some plans that are there and the departments are on target in making sure that those things are implemented as planned, especially around the area of supply chain and issues of recruitment. We find that the department tend to be left until the very late stages of the budget process when nothing can be done. For instance, if you've got recruitment whereby in terms of your assumptions, you are assuming that people will hit the system in April, you only hire those people maybe in the second half of the year. There's nothing that you can do with that money because you cannot go back and take pay the people. So these are the type of areas that we're looking at. Of course, one of the crippling things as far as salary capacity was concerned was the high vacancy rate, which we have also focused on it this year. We have improved our numbers quite dramatically, and we believe that we'll have the necessary fair degree going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, you may switch off. Let me just read the hymn book, PFMA. It's a pity I did not read this verse for Mr. Mkhize. 18.2G is straightforward, it's clear. Let me see. Says, you must intervene by taking appropriate steps which may include the withholding of funds to address a serious or persistent material breach of this act by a provincial department or provincial public entity. Now, This is in respect of the equitable share. There's no two ways about it. Conditional grant is clear in terms of the division of revenue, which is the Bible. The national department must withhold and reallocate to a performing one. So again, therefore, in terms of the equitable share, there's no two ways. It's not about running or micromanaging a department, but if there is persistent and material underperformance, people must not be given money. That's the bottom line. Questions, comments, Mr. Robertson, Mr. Mkhalipi, and Fokoni?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just need some clarification on one or two matters. Chair, the following were reports that we've seen on housing. We see it in the presentation that only 9% was spent. But reports that have it that 500 million rand was withdrawn, and I found clarity on this one. And then, Chair, on the school nutrition program, reports indicate that 100 million rand gone missing on that specific grant, and I'd like clarity on that. Chair, that's all for the time being. Thank you.
Chair, exactly on the ground that you've read now, then what would be then the basis of keeping a CFO in that position if he or she can perform, if there is this persistent and material understanding, which in my view forms the crux of his performance contract? What would be then the basis of keeping that person employed in that? Because withholding is a punishment for it's a punishment that is affecting other innocent people, other than the one who is the offender. Perhaps in the case of Eastern Cape, it would mean that the poor children go hungry in the school because there's underspending and we withhold. And those kids are unfairly being punished just because of lack of performance of a certain individual. In a way, we would be not be addressing the problem, because the problem would be the understanding, the underperforming in the individual. As we always say, we must show the teeth and the claws that this legislation can write. Thank you,
Chair. So, you, Chairperson, you referred to the Chipati Eastern Cape. They must not repeat to one another. I'm sure you're also saying that to us, mustn't repeat to one another. But I said that you would have started with 1813. Because it's worrying if MEC is really up on the question of being not able to enforce. 1813 says of the PFMA, it says provincial treasury must, it says must promote and enforce . There's no question of choosing here, it says provincial treasury must promote and enforce transparency and effective management in respect of revenue and blah, 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 blah. So I hope that this will assist then the colleagues at provincial treasury. So in the NEC read very interesting notes. They are not part of this, unfortunately. But I think that you must rule it. You don't want us to comment on this. He's saying that among what he says was the 22 municipalities that have got problems in the Eastern Cape. And then he went on to say they have employed a service provider. Now I became very curious of what is this, what you call it. But I know it's not another part of it. That's why I'm saying so. You must, you can rule on this. the, you know, there were interesting issues that were said, issues of suspense account, and the NEC from KZN has also raised. Say, I'm very interested, what is this suspense account? Because my understanding is that the departments have got programs, program one, program two, to deal with specific things. Now the suspense account, is it at the level of national department, I mean national, what we would refer to as, what is the word, now it's missing. But I would like us to understand this issue of suspense account. Mr. Kalmasha says they are going to start next year at various annual. They would want the departments to come up with their procurement plan. I think that is very encouraging. But also, my understanding is that the budget does not come, I mean, the Department of, I mean, Federal Government doesn't begin to understand the budget of a certain department on the 1st of April. My understanding of that budget is a process over time. And that's why we have been on this issue of planning, so that clearly people plan over time. Yeah. And I think that also the Eastern Cape needs to do so. I'm just looking at the as well. No, I'll come to that just then. On the slide, I mean, on the document that was presented, on page 9, slide 9, the projected amount to be spent was 1.4 and 1.2 was spent, billion, 1.2 billion was spent. Now, Chair, what I don't understand there is it that there's another column which says actual percentage of transfers. In other words, it's not expenditure, it's transfers. Libraries, they spend 0.5%. I don't know if we can get an explanation, Chair, as to perhaps why 1.5% and housing 24%. I'm not sure about the explanation for this. Maybe Treasury would have an explanation for this because. I mean the issue of housing. Last year we had a problem where Federal didn't want to increase housing, and the Eastern Cape assured that now everything is in place. Now they are going to improve on spending on. It was in March this year. Yeah. But, well, up to now, we're not seeing this was a problem. I don't know if Treasury then could help with perhaps their own explanation. But,
it is us who are saying the Eastern Cape housing should not be given a billion rand. Because they were failing to spend 600 million rand.
Now you have clarified, Chairperson. But also, Chair, I'm not sure whether it is this issue of the strike or what. The expenditure on infrastructure in the Eastern Cape, Where's education? I think I saw education. But I'm not sure. The KZN, they said they have got problems. They are plugging in your service providers and whatnot. But in the Eastern Cape, I mean, what is it that we're doing to improve on the expenditure of the infrastructure? Because Eastern Cape last year, or it could be ended, no, last year, because we have not seen the they themselves indicated to us that they might not be having children learning under the trees, but they have children learning under the mud houses and those were the kind of structures that the community decided to put up a school and whatnot. So clearly, there's a need out there for school infrastructure. So, Chairperson, I think that for now, I'll stop there. Sir, what is school nutrition?
You know what I want to do?
Or did we leave it to...
I just want to roll on the sector question. And just, I think, let's firstly focus on these PFMA things. Because clearly we've got to be a bit rough with the sectors themselves. But as we are becoming rough, let's also be rough with Treasury. Well, clearly this hymn book is very clear in terms of what they must do themselves. So that there can't be two ways about it. There shouldn't be buddy buddies here. The buck stops with the Treasury if you look at the PFMA. And so I'm just saying we shouldn't be told other things. But also just in terms of the assistance that provincial treasury, because the MEC was saying they rely on the treasury for shareholders the tax. Again, the bottom line is, what is it that you do again in respect of the assistance in terms of the PFMA that you are giving to departments? I think let's focus on those matters. We will be picking up the sectoral questions with the sector. MEC and the team? Mr. Potter?
Just regarding of the presentation, I think you thank them on the MEC was also make a lot of comments in his overall. But he told lots of things what they had done in the colleges and services. Let's say that will be also interesting if we have it as a part of this report. Because I tried to follow, but there's not a part of
You're right. We need that. But because we are inconsistent or constant interaction with those municipalities. So clearly it would be nice also just not only to have a fee, because we've got to use that overview also to see which municipality we would want to call in respect of some of the things that you have raised. You're right. It would be nice that also I have a copy of that. Let me see.
Chair, thank you. I'm going to ask Mike Fraser on my left to talk on the PFMA and the suspense account. We will also add to that, and then we'll take it further. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members, colleagues. Let us first start with suspense accounts. Without getting into the accounting technicalities, essentially a suspense account is a holding account. And I'll give you a good example of what I mean by that. Department of Health in the Eastern Cape, for instance, because transport is outsourced to a service provider, Health is the biggest user and consumer of transport in the province, it's about $30 million a month. But in terms of the agreement with the service provider, that account has to be...
Just a minute, you're saying that departmental transport is outsourced?
Transport.
Okay.
To feed Africa. Okay. And in terms of the agreement with that service provider, their monthly bill has to be... It's ambulances and all the other transport of health and any other department uses. The only transport in the province that is not outsourced is in fact the so-called yellow vehicles. In any event, in order for health to pay within 7 days, which is in terms of the service level agreement, they are unable to analyze an account of 30 million a month within 7 days. And if they don't pay within 7 days, they incur interest. So what they do is they pay within 7 days, and their payment is allocated against a suspense account. And during the course of the month, that account is then analyzed, and it is then journalized to the respective different responsibilities. So that's what our, in fact, the suspense account works. The issue arises, however, and health would be another good example, is that if health didn't analyze their suspense account for 2 months, there would be 60 million rand worth of expenditure that was not reflecting as expenditure in their financial statements. So they can actually manipulate the system in that way. In addition to that, and it is probably equally as alarming, is that all staff and other debt is held in the suspense accounts. And unfortunately, in the case of the Eastern Cape, as a result of our history, some of that staff debt goes back as far as
19... How old are they? Just to talk. Hi, do you have a similar problem? Suspense account? Yes, no?
Yes, we do have.
Not yet? Not yet? Yes, no? Limbombo? Yes, no? White and Clean? Yes, no?
Yes, sir, but not to that sort of magnitude.
Okay. Who else is here? I think this is a matter that must receive our urgent attention. This is just not fun. Okay, proceed there.
I think I've explained the technicalities around suspense accounts. The effect, or as a result of the concerns that that raises with others, our particular treasury, is we've developed a monitoring tool, and in fact we now monitor all the suspense accounts in the province on a monthly basis, and the departments have to report to us. But in that process, we are finding some serious issues, such as old staff accounts that have not been collected. And in fact, in my opinion, many of them are uncollectible because the people have left the service, or they can't be traced anymore, because one will recall in our case that we amalgamated three different services to form one province. And a lot of that debt, in fact, is hidden somehow in records in the old Transkei and the old Transkei, so the people are very difficult to trace. The impact of that is that in order to write off the debt in those particular departments concerned, which is largely health and education, is that they will require additional budget in order to do so. Then let me move on to the PFMA issue. In the case of the Eastern Cape Provincial Treasury...
No. Just switch off. Let's not discuss this one. Clear cut. It must have been followed. This is what you must do. You've got our own support. If there is anybody who is resisting this, write a letter to us and say so-and-so is resisting. Okay? Let's not discuss what must be done in terms of the law now. Right? It's a pity when I was looking at my points, I missed this issue with KZN. No, don't be interested. It's about the hymn book, and nobody must be allowed. Let's then say for the Eastern Cape, one, clearly your public works has its own problem. The same verse we read for KZN, section 14, 3, 2, and D. Must be implemented in terms of their own capacity, building their own capacity. So part of the problem that is raised here about this infrastructure plan relates to that relationship. You see, the problem that we have here is that the same verse here, if you look at D, 2AD, it says they must enter into implement and manage a service level agreement, service delivery agreement. Now, if the public works is weak, it can't enter into this service delivery agreement. Something, let's ensure that one, that 14.3.2, is implemented with your public work, but also B of that is also implemented, and it would be nice just to have a report in respect of that. Number two, can you go back, handle the issue of the suspense account with all the culprits in your province, And therefore, any one of them who's resisting this one, it's a matter that must be resolved when you talk to yourselves in the next quarter. We do not want to hear that you are in a process trying to address this thing. We want it resolved because it does create problems. The biggest problem is this one that you're raising of outsourcing the state. You see, because part of the bigger problem is, what is your response time? I've had some communities say, an ambulance was phoned, it came after 10 hours, etc. I think that's another discussion you must enter into. MEC was saying we don't want to micromanage. But I think we must try and resolve some of the problems because there's so much bureaucratic problems in terms of these things. That's another matter that we must engage with that Department of Health. And then we will be watching the state. I'm worried about the projections. Having looked at the Treasury submission, I think the story is a bit risky. You're breaking even on almost every department. It's good, but I'm just worried. It's good, but I'm worried. It's a matter that I think we must go back to and deal with in that province. I think that's what we need to say for the Eastern Cape. We will be watching carefully these two departments. Education, housing, and even health, we will be watching. In fact, probably works too. We've got to watch very, very carefully. And I think there are serious problems there. Now, having then said that, can we allow the MEC his last word?
Can I just conclude on the suspension count from the outside, saying we're in the process of appointing dedicated personnel to clear it monthly. Because that is where the problem lies. If you don't clear it on a monthly basis, it accumulates. Eventually the problem is so historical you can't find the solution, as Mike said, Mike Fraser. Okay, thank you for that. On the CFOs, I just want to touch that because there's a bit of a misunderstanding. What I said is some of the departments, we have to put people in that position for them because they haven't appointed, they're on the process of appointing. But you see, the CFO's job is to account for the budget. The spending of the budget goes down to the program manager. So what we're doing in the Eastern Cape with the Executive Council, we're calling the program managers in saying, come, tell us why you're not spending and explain to us what the problems are. So one must differentiate between who takes the blame. The CFO must guarantee that the spending is accurate, transparent, etc. But the program managers actually effectively spend the money. I can see a question coming to mind.
I'm sorry, sir. I think that I missed something. I'm not sure if Mr. Nell was saying some departments do not have CFOs. Was he saying that?
Yeah, like education, for example. So we put somebody in there. Yeah, well, they... The longer we talk, the worse it sounds. and it's not that bad. What we're trying to say also, what I'm saying, I gave you an overview of the challenges. And the challenges are that the whole department is being changed and transformed under the new MEC. And there's a forensic audit around, for example, the school nutrition program. That still has to be made public. And it has to be done because I've seen part of the report, a lot of the implicated personnel are actually teachers and the rest. So, you know, that is a bit of a sticky one. So I was hoping the Honourable Member, Mr. Robinson, will give us a bit of time to come back to him. But he said 100 million is missing. That's all part of the investigation. We'll come back to you on that, sir. Then let me just handle Mr. Robertson's other problem on the housing, the 500 million. I also saw that in the press. I got a clipping of it. I didn't have time to interrogate it, but I can just tell you historically what has happened in the housing department. And prior to the new MEC being appointed, we last year, to
to try and get them to spend their budget.
Don't even bother about that one.
Yeah.
We know the story. They presented a very glamorous recovery plan to us when we were dealing with Division of Revenue. It's a matter that we will have to come back to when they appear before us. No worry. No, don't worry about that one. Just the last one. Yeah?
Okay, let me try not to defend anybody. They must come in the county, you sir. I don't have a problem with it. On the municipalities, the 22 municipalities that have challenges around the financial capabilities and management, the service provider we appointed is to do an assessment of those municipalities, not only to establish how big the problem is, but also to look at ways and means of overcoming the problem. And for example, let me just quote you a hypothetical situation where you might have a parking area belonging to a municipality in the middle of a town which is highly valuable, which has been used to park motor vehicles or construction vehicles, which can be utilized either through a triple P or whatever to generate funds. So we're looking at all the possibilities around the municipalities to see how we can assist them without just throwing money at the problem, because I don't think that is what we intend doing. If I can move on then, I'm going to ask Mr. Kalamash to talk on the infrastructure, which finish on infrastructure, and is the other one called?
No, Kalamash is not going to talk. I've just given the line.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, I mean, the line that you must all go and look at. The province. Thanks for your last message. But I think what we must do, I think for all provinces, again, it's a bit case I can use on this one. The MIG is growing for the very weak municipality. I think part of what you must just go and do between now and when we pass the Division of Revenue Bill is just to look at the capacity to absorb that extra funding and what is it that you can do in between now just to ensure that they are ready when the funding. Because part of the bigger problem there is that the very little money they receive now, they are not able to absorb. And the most underperforming municipalities are these very weak municipalities, except one wonderful municipality which I love so much, Mushawake, in the Northern Cape. It's very poor, but it's really performing very well. I'm just saying, part of the 22 that you talk about, can you also look at, because part of the new funding also must start to look at financial viability, etc., in the MGDVM. And so, I think the without really preempting what our view would be when we're dealing with the oncoming Division of Revenue, it would be nice just to have through Kalamash. It would be nice, MEC, just to have a sense of those municipalities in the province and at what stage would they be ready to come the new financial year just to be able to implement the new additional funding, especially MIG. I'm not talking equitable share. It's just MIG that really goes big time. Can I then... Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for you just to sneak something with treasury, yeah, around the municipalities? There are municipalities in the Eastern Cape that have not signed for certain infrastructure, but they've got money. Is it possible for you just to ask National Treasury to ensure that it assists those municipalities that have not signed? We've got a list of them.
No, what we need to do is they must come and account for themselves. We have the information now. It is within their own responsibility to have signed all of these things. They must therefore be called to come and account before us. But it's fine, we know Treasury is always working on these things on our behalf. It's not a big deal, we can do that. Can we then say the following, in thanking the MEC again? Limpopo, we want to be nice to you now so that we release you all very fast. Just talk to the dangerous zones in your province.
We know we've got this huge submission we shall go through systematically. Again, there are things that we, on an ongoing basis, are going to be picking up there. And then whilst you're talking to the dangerous nodes, Northwest is going to come in immediately and also talk to the dangerous zones. We've seen some of the dangerous zones. It's not going to help to be glamorous about it. Let's then say Limpopo, very fast to the danger zone. I can see you are agitated, you're moving up and down. Where do you want to go?
No, it's got nothing to do with that, Chair.
Okay.
I'm trying to get the parliamentary officer with the other hard copies, and he's stuck at the airport in Joburg, so that's
hard copies are not here?
They're not here.
Oh, well, you're in trouble, eh? Now it's not here now. Right, if that is the case, whilst you are still working that out, Norwest, yours is with us. Let's talk to the dangerous zones.
Thank you, Chair. So we head from the northwest. We send we are on the slide number 4. It is attached to the end of that submission. The conditional ground for the second quarter, we spent approximately 44%, which is 889 million rand, out of a budget of 2 billion. With respect to infrastructure funding, 43% is the cover up for the two quarters, which is approximately 1 billion out of 2.3 billion allocated for the financial year. The Northwest, yes. Slide or page? It is on the slide towards the end of that submission. Say there is no page number on that one, it's on the slide. That is right. One? Page 2 on the slideshow. Page 2 on the slideshow. Okay, can I continue? With respect to the infrastructure funding, we are worried about economic development spending. At the end of second quarter, the department hasn't spent any money under infrastructure spending. Even though Treasury has directly involved with the province, specifically with the Economic Development Department, by providing some kind of support, we also try to see a real problem with respect to that specific department is the support which they have with respect to project plans. The department managed to submit all the project plans somewhere in August and the beginning of September this financial year. So we are expecting some type of spending in the third quarter and fourth quarter which is coming, but during the adjustment estimate we are expecting them to surrender some money because of not spending by the department. That is the specific department we are worried about the infrastructure spending. With respect to the provincial personnel and non-personnel expenditure, the province spent 47% by the end of September, which is 6.9 billion rand out of 14.5 billion. It is on the next page. It is approximately 2% more than comparative information for the previous financial year, which is 2006 and 2007.
In this specific case, Department of Education is projecting an overspending of approximately 1.2 billion rand in this financial year. This is one of the great concerns, one of the major reasons we have identified for the Department of Education overspending is some errors in the demarcation figures calculated for the purpose of the budgeting. And then we also have requested the department to respond why there is this kind of 1.2 billion rand overspending for this financial year. The department response is not very clear what is the exact cause for that. They're saying that there is an under-allocation of budget to the department, but we believe that there is something, some ghost employees, some other serious issues involved in the personnel structure of the department. Because of that, we have applied Section 18 of the PSMA to assist them to change what is the real reason. Headcount and analyzing the personnel cost, we brought 3-4 personnel expertise from other departments to analyze the personnel system to identify the real problems and things like that. A report we are expecting by the end of this week so that we can take the appropriate action and see whether we are going to meet the budget somewhere in the middle, which is approximately 500 to 600 million rand towards the end of the financial year. Chair, if you go to the next slide, the personal expenditure appears to be very high at this stage. The provincial treasury is taking precautionary measures to reduce the impact of personal expenditure in the province by discouraging the department to appoint additional unnecessary staff that can result in an increased fixed cost of for 2008 and 9 financial year. The provincial treasury also urged the provincial department to surrender if there is any savings. We are working with the national treasury as well in this regard. We are trying to find some money in the provincial department savings so that we can fund some of the estimated overspending of the Department of Education. There is a shortage of funding which we can see from their spending pattern, but the amount which they are forecasting is not necessarily the real figure, and we expect a huge reduction in after the investigation process is complete. Chair, allow us to take through the individual departments, specifically Department of Health, Education and Social Development Department. Those are the key departments with huge spending.
Thank you, Chair. Minister Carol Abrams. Just with regard to the Department of Health, just to emphasize the area there, the health indicated there would be some pressure in terms of the capital or infrastructure expenditure, specifically in terms of the infrastructure grant to provinces that we received of 20 million. They already spent 18 million, which is 94% at this stage. It basically indicates the pressure that they have in terms of that, as well as the clinical in the program, of which they spent.
No. That's just hang on. Can you just switch off? Switch off your mic. Not a problem with this presentation. And I think that let's be fair to yourself. The first problem I have myself, and this is an ongoing problem that we've been raising with you. You have created pockets of development funds. If you look at page 2. From the premier to the last one. In other words, it has to do with infrastructure funds. Every department has that kind of thing. And it worries me because, for instance, the 67 million rand given to something called Department of Economic Affairs, nothing has been spent.
It's a depressed problem. And social development also has this infrastructure thing. Only 12% of this thing is spent. Now, it really worries me because it does not tell us a picture about the capacity of your public works department and why this money is not utilized through the public works department, for instance. I think that's the first problem I have in terms of your report. I like the transparency. Let me just say that. I love the transparency, but I'm just worried about the way things are done there. These infrastructure funds that are all over the show. I think the picture you're presenting here is that there's a big lack of integration, especially integration and planning in that province. I think that's the biggest problem for me. I'm not sure how you are planning to resolve this matter, such that it is able to assist us. And so I think what we must then do in respect of this input that you are making is maybe not really raise issues with yourself again. But I think these are matters that we must raise with the sector departments themselves. But also yourselves, you are calculating here, but why do you allow these things? Why do you allow these things to happen in your province? Again, it relates to this matter that we talked about in terms of the PFMA. Very less in terms of trying to implement the PFMA. Very less in terms of trying to implement the Division of Revenue Act. It worries me because this picture does not tell me much except that I must raise these very specific questions therefore to the sector department. I'm looking for on that page 6 now. Community library services, 3%, and so on and so on and so on. So again, it talks to me about the ability of your public works department. So what I want to do then is really to be nice to you and say, do you want to respond to what I've just said, and I want to close your case. Because I still think that we need to have a bigger discussion with yourself outside this meeting as a provincial treasurer in Northwest.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to take you to page number 2 on the... Yeah, because that's the infrastructure which we have highlighted is an internal funding from the equitable share, which we earmarked for the specific department internally for us to make a control of those kind of expenses.
That's exactly my point. I'm saying every province opposes conditional grants. That's the first thing. At number 2, all conditional grants are phased step by step into the equitable share. But yourselves create these things in your own province, Northwest. And in doing this, you are compromising other things. And this is why I'm saying we need a bigger and a broader discussion with yourself to be able to understand this picture. But really, it has its serious problem. Very serious problem. I wanted you just to respond to the issue I raised earlier on. Refer me to page 2. I understand your picture. It worries me. This is why I'm raising this thing. If you've got anything to respond to what I've raised, but I'm just saying to you, I think we might want to go to your province just to have a broader discussion with everybody. Okay. Case closed.
That is fine.
Good. All right, let's then go to... Let's hope this province is not going to disappoint us. Limpopo is still waiting for your hard copy there, right? Well, the two smart provinces would never disappoint us. Let's take the biggest smart province. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I think our presentation also has been circulated. I'm going to just, in terms of the presentation that's been circulated, we've responded to the letter that the chair sent to our MEC, and mainly we're focusing on the three areas where the chairperson requested that as treasuries we outline in terms of how we have performed in our for our internal for our audit outcome for 2006 and 2007, and also then going to the issues of spending for the second quarter, both for infrastructure and also the conditional grant. We also
okay. You can just leave 0607. Let's talk to the second two things, item 2 and 3.
We also have made an assessment of the monitoring capacity and also the intervention. I'm going to request that Dora just to take us through the key.
Just say, you know why we're going to 0607, we want to defer because you yourselves are not culprits. There are culprits that have firstly projected some performance and in the final analysis underperformed. And just to quote the biggest culprit in your province, education, personal spend, and then many others. So don't worry about that one for now. It's not for you, just for them. We shall deal with that when we have them. But then proceed with the other two.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to ask Noda to briefly highlight the critical issues in terms of the capital expenditure, that is infrastructure, and also in terms of the conditional grant and the intervention that we are making as Treasury in the province in addressing some of these issues. Thanks.
I must apologize that our presentation is not numbered in terms of pages. But about 7 pages in 2 inch. I think 7 pages down in 2 inch, there's a tag entitled Provincial Infrastructure Budget for 2007-8, which shows key departments that receive funding for capital spending. In this financial year, the amount allocated across Southern government is 5.5 billion on infrastructure, and the bulk of it went to the Department of Housing, Public Transport, Roads and Works, as well as the Health Department, Education, also the bulk of that. Now, the slide that follows that is called 5 columns in it. Which looked at how the 5.5 billion was utilized. Column number one will show the budget in terms of capex and how much of that was maintenance or profit for maintenance. The column that follows that shows the amount that we projected to spend by end of the period under review. And then the third column shows what was actually spent. Then the column and number four shows what is projected to be spent in the remaining two periods. And then the last column, column number five, looks at the projected outcome. So, it's clear from the presentation, if you look at the last two rows at the bottom, in column one, that the bulk of the budget went to capital expenditure, 87% of this. This refers to the amount that we spend creating new assets and new infrastructure in terms of schools, clinics, and in charge of development centers and so on. And we allocated 10% for maintenance of assets that already exist. We had projected initially to spend 52% of our infrastructure budget by end of the period under review in overall, but when the numbers came back, we had actually spent 43%. The capital budget overall in GPG, 45% of projected expenditure was realized, and 84% of our projected maintenance. So, move on to the next slide, then I will just comment on the highlights of key expenditure areas. So, Our last answer committee to move. This presentation is for 2 parts. There is a slide that will show detail of expenditure by both in terms of capital expenditure, which is entitled Infrastructure Expenditure Analysis Capital Projects. And then later on in the presentation, we'll also look at the table that does the same analysis, but for maintenance projects. They are allocated by department. So for new capital investments, the total allocation for this financial year was 4.7 billion. And we had projected to spend 2.6 billion of this by end of quarter two. But we actually were able to spend 2.2 billion, which represents about 44% or 45% of our allocated budget. The bulk of the department that led in spending the performance in terms of capital expenditure is Department of Health, which was able to utilize 9% of its allocation. Department of Education also performed very well, realizing 65% of the expenditure projected, as well as the Department of Public Transport, Roads and Works. There are some departments which have performed relatively low, like that of social development, and as treasury has taken specific measures to address this particular problem. For example, the Department of Social Development is involved in building of social infrastructure, which involves early childhood development centers, old people's homes, and centers for vulnerable and orphan children. But they also work a lot with non-governmental organizations as well as municipalities. So, I think the department has not planned properly and not anticipated the amount of work involved in the construction of social infrastructure, because in the past it had relied almost exclusively with NGOs, but now the move is towards creating its own social infrastructure to meet requirements of the children and all the residents and so on in terms of their mandate. So, only recently this department has come to be responsible for building its own old age center and meetings and so on. We have come in as treasury to help them deal with training better, so that training can take place quite a few months before actual expenditure happens. And we meet with them on a monthly basis to review progress that's being made. So this year, their budget for infrastructure has been revised downwards during the adjustment so that they can do proper planning such that this can the implementation can start in the beginning of the following financial year. Department of Agriculture faces similar problems because most of its work it does in cooperation with municipalities as well as the National Department of Water Affairs and Forestry in terms of getting forest registration and invasive plants and so on. I would just like to point out that the Department of Public Transport, Roads and Works is separated, reported here, also been bought 9 from Public Works. They have performed quite an average, but we know that there are big projects where they are trying to bring on small constructors in a group of 10 to and because they pocketed some of the maintenance roads in terms of 10 kilometers. So we know that from our engagement with them that is ongoing in Australia and Tech, that this spending is set to increase as soon as they are done with adjudication. Because what they have done is to bring in create consortia of small construction companies and package kilometers of road so that they can each do pieces of about 10 kilometers each of the road as they somewhere else in this presentation. So we are here with that, and just last point on this department that this speaker has done projects on rapid spending, which is not an outdoor project. I would like us to move on to the next slide. Which is called maintenance projects, which is also a table, I think, two of the ones we have discussed. It's entitled Infrastructure Expenditure Analysis Maintenance Projects. This is a slide that has been a bit worrying for us, because it shows that while we create a lot of assets, the province, we don't really dedicate much resources to maintaining them. There's quite a few amounts of resources that we allocate to crew maintenance. The total budget of the share of infrastructure budget is 13%. So you will note, the honorable members will note, that 823 million against the total infrastructure budget of 5.5 billion. But the bulk of the maintenance budget, again, if you look at column 1, is done by the Department of Transport, Roads and Works, because it is a general responsibility to maintain the roads and other infrastructure, which is rather more maintenance intensive than the rest. It is also closely followed by the Department of Health, which is required by law, because there are areas in health which, for whom maintenance is statutory. But generally, this is the area that faces quite limited availability of resources, which I would think as a province have identified and have decided that we need to put more resources to explore ways to make to pay more attention to issues of maintenance. To that end, we have requested our department to develop proper maintenance plans, and the Department of Public Works is developing what is called conditional assessment to determine what the state of the physical infrastructure assets is. And therefore, in that particular report should help us determine true extent of resources required to deal with maintenance backlog, first of all, and also to maintain assets that we are continuously creating across both the social and economic infrastructure. So the table will show that the Department of Health is the one that has spent about 50% of its maintenance allocation, but also the Department of Housing, which we know provides social housing and is responsible for major maintenance works in these particular facilities. It shows that these are departments that have provided that have performed at the highest rate in housing in this area, followed by the Department of Education as well as social development. And the Department of Education expects its budget, the performance, to increase because it has embarked on a massive program to improve school security, which includes installation of qualified fencing and other security areas around the school laboratory and other facilities holding learning equipment. I think Jefferson, that's just the core performance in areas in housing. So I would probably just quickly point out, because I've had members ask what the money buys and so on, that in the terms of the health capital budget, our biggest CapEx project includes that in Polakwan Hospital, which we anticipate there is a renovation and upgrade, revitalization of the ENT or OPD section in Barakwanath, which we anticipate to be completed by end of May 2008. The other hospital is Mamelodi Hospital, which is almost complete. We anticipate it to be handed over to the department by December this year. The Natal Space Hospital has run into delays because of some funding constraints, but we have engaged the National Department of Health to deal with this matter, and we anticipate that a successful hospital can be completed in 2009, especially because if we don't, if there are delays, then the cost of condition increase by significant amounts. The Department of Education, we have pointed out that we have increased attention towards maintenance, so there is a bullet under education here that shows that we have targeted 152 schools to be rehabilitated in terms of renovating administration facilities, as well as fencing to improve school security. There are also 162 new projects that are going on that involve the increase of number of classrooms as well as the building of new schools. Part of the maintenance backlog has come about from the number of schools that the province of Gauteng has inherited from other provinces, Mpumalanga and Northwest. So there is quite a few of maintenance work that requires to be done also in that area. The redemarcation of provinces, cross-border municipalities, yes. So, again, those ones are the ones that we...
Now that is a good thing, I will raise this. Can Northwest go and look at that projected spending on personal education as a result of cross-border? It's a very huge projection. That's another matter that I think we must ask them to do. Proceed.
Thank you. The following page will talk to the Department of Housing. Mainly this involves creation of human settlements. The Department of Housing has accelerated its programs in housing, and as you would have seen in the slide, it projected to overspend, but we think this is an issue that is addressed during the adjustment budget. Because we do try to insist that departments stay within budget allocated in a given year. So we will be monitoring that development closely as the adjustment budget process unfolds. Public transport roads and works, main projects involve the elimination of gravel roads in Gauteng, upgrading specific roads that have been earmarked that are important for economic activity to relieve congestion and also to create major access routes going forward. This involves the M1 R24 which connects the city to the OR Tambo Airport as well as the Tor Tswane to the airport, R21, N12, N1 to relieve traffic congestion that has economic costs. So these are the selective projects that the department is essentially engaged in. There is also the carrying of roads in the 2025 townships.
Baba, you can't speak as a separate department here.
Okay. Later. So I'll just quickly highlight probably just those phase two interventions in terms of monitoring that Treasury has undertaken in terms of infrastructure. As I pointed out earlier, that we try to help the department to insist that they improve.
Because this glamorous reporting you are doing is not talking to the issues that you see in terms of the spending of the same department you are praising. You just decided to focus on the Works Department, right? The carrying of this and that, whereas you should have spoken to a better department than the one you were singing the praises of. What's it?
Okay, so we were moving on to interventions that we have taken as Treasury in terms of implementing the infrastructure improvement program. This program essentially seeks to align the delivery cycle, the infrastructure delivery cycle, to the budget cycle, thereby trying to eliminate or prevent the need for budget rollovers. And the center of it is the support we give departments to improve their planning so that by the time the financial year starts, they are able to absorb maximum amount of funds allocated for a particular year. So it essentially places more emphasis that spending must proceed, must happen in terms of the integrated allocation for the financial year start. This project is called the IDIP program. Okay. Okay. I would like to move to the conditional grant report. And there we'll just highlight the amount that the province has been able to absorb so to the end of the period under review. As a council, I think our allocation is 10.3 million in this financial year, and the education department has been able to expend 39% of its combined pre-infrastructure, pre-conditional grants. And quickly, the Department of Health is about 42%. Housing was able to expend 38% of its allocation. And the infrastructure grant, I think, is a little more. And 24% was expended by the transport board. Transport, the house train, which might include other sources of funding, spending there is 46%. So the total in terms of infrastructure of conditional grants for the province was at the end of Q2 at 42%. The last point that we would like to speak to relates to the monitoring capacity and compliance that the province has in place, the provincial treasury. Because one of the initiatives that the province has is to interact closely with program managers and CFOs of departments. So we have a team of officials that are allocated by sector and by department, so a person is required to manage the portfolio and work with the department closely. The approach we have taken is to monitor reporting and work with departments to provide hands-on support in terms of their compliance, reporting in terms of the FPFMA Section 44, monthly reports called the in-year monitoring system. So our officials work hand-in-hand with their counterparts in departments to develop capacity to do this reporting properly, and it's an area that we are continuously working on to improve. The problem that we have been having so far with departments, I mean the challenge, has been that reporting, sometimes we tend to see a situation that the report might have been submitted as a way to comply with the provisions of the Act, not necessarily being monitored or populated properly, and then that the senior management team, the department, in often cases have not been signing off on this report. So what measure is taken to say we refer such reports back so that accounting officers take ownership of reports that come to the provincial treasury. First of all, this improves the quality of reports that are sent to the treasury, and also it eliminates the room for departments to disown reports in case wrong reports or mine. I think we'll end that chapter.
Let me ask you one question. That's only one question for you, Hanke. Why is it that there is, especially the provincial infrastructure grant? Why is it subsumed in other programs across provincial departments and therefore no reporting? It can be. It's clear. There are only three portfolios. It can be across. Got to be roads, got to be health and education. And therefore, why is it subsumed? And therefore, no reporting is clear there. Well, why is it so?
Chairperson, I think that's one thing that I noted when I went through the presentation. The conditional grant has been allocated to those three departments. And I think there has been an omission in our reporting here in terms of indicating exactly how much has been spent on the provincial infrastructure grant. but we allocate it to those three departments, and I do acknowledge that we have not reflected the actual expenditure in our presentation, which we have given, but it is part of the report that we sent to National Treasury.
What was the basis of your allocation?
The basis of the allocations are clearly outlined in dollar chairperson. And the main basis is, firstly, we use the basis of dollar, which is mainly 40% to education, another 40% to health, and then to transport, and then 20% to health. However, we also took into account the spending trends, especially in education, where we realized that education were not spending their infrastructure. We then decided to take part of their allocation and allocate it to health. However, we are saying we'll definitely go back to the requirements of DORA because education is undergoing, is part of the IDIC, and they are significantly addressing issues of capacity in as far as infrastructure is delivered.
See, this is the point, HOT. You must just be clear, the law is clear. We can't be sentimental about it. It is, the basis is only performance and nothing else. And there's no two ways about it. And I'm not sure why then you are to allocate when people are not performing very well. I think that's the problem. Let's have a question. Ms. Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me just say how frustrating it is not to have numbering of pages. And can you please make it quite clear to all departments that we need pages numbered? One is constantly looking for information, trying to find out, and we can't look at things in a proper manner without having information at our fingertips. I'm very concerned about the fact that there's low spending or no spending on agriculture, sports, arts and recreation. ECD infrastructure. Early childhood education is the basis for all future education. The basis of reading, literacy, numeracy, the problems where we fall down so badly are laid when children are tiny. We cannot allow for slow spending there. Planning stages, problems. I go on to Department of Sports, Arts, Culture and Recreation, and I see that money is mainly being spent on stages. Great, that is necessary taking 2010 into account. But what about the rest? Other sporting activities are important for children. I look at your libraries. Now, I'm sorry, I can't keep on paging between all the pages because it's so difficult. But on where it says grants done financial performance, it says that under arts and culture community library services grant, an amount of 9.4 million was transferred, only 992,000 was spent, no expenditure was reported to date. Then the main reason for underspending is the non-purchasing of library information resources, late transfers, delays in signing. I just think that this is absolutely unacceptable, taking into account what our education needs are in this country. So please, that's just my comment at this stage. There's plenty more, but it's just so confusing. So please, it's a proper presentation. You've gone to a lot of trouble to make it look pretty or glamorous, as the chair will say. But the basic information is just not accessible because of a simple little thing like numbering. But please, education, children, libraries, those are things we should focus on. That's where our future lies.
Okay, let's, I think housing, the problem there is, again, this thing of not using the hymn book. We do want to discuss this. That's the one. But number two, the Bible must be used. Division of Revenue Act. Now again, let us then say, can we go back and then look at these matters, especially in the third quarter, properly? Of course, the picture is becoming clear, but the worry is that you're talking second quarter and you're looking at this performance. and therefore the risks are so big. Let's also go and deal with that suspense account issue we did raise earlier. But also your public work seems to be in the ICU. Again, the same verse I talked to in terms of the division of revenue. And I'm not sure why public works departments are kind of, all of them, in the ICU. I just across the country. I don't understand that. Why is that so? It's a worry. These are very critical departments. But there seems to be very, very, very big problems there. We met with municipalities. We were not aware before we went to Gauteng that some of these municipalities are rural in the majority of cases. We worried about this. Clearly there's a problem. If this money is underperforming in the context of those municipalities that were talking to us about the potential in terms of this rural aspect, and there's this huge understanding, I think it's a matter that again must receive some serious attention. We might want to have a meeting with those municipalities and this department. That's in terms of what is it that this department is doing to assist those municipalities. Because all of them were pleading, we are rural municipalities, there's little that is being done in the sector agriculture. So again, I think it's a worrying aspect which we will have to raise ourselves. I think again, as we have said to other departments, can we again plead with the smart province to be smarter and just ensure that all these things are done. Housing, I think it's a bit risky in counting. Looking at where it is now, there's a huge budget there again. I think we might want to go back. I'm not sure when we're dealing with the new division of revenue, whether we might want to give them more again, looking at this risk. And I'm not sure what the picture is going to be like going into the end of the financial year. It's just a terrible situation. At 9%. Right. So I think those are some of the things we would want you to just tidy up going into the third quarter. So that let's see what's going to come out in the third quarter as we end it. But I think part of the exercise is also showing, you see, this discretionary powers are problematic. Because almost all the provinces are not doing what Northwest is doing, just in terms of the pockets. All over. You've got all sorts of pockets all over the show. But what is also interesting that you are starting to do is maintenance. I think we need to see the visibility of that maintenance ourselves. It's a matter that we must raise with the sector department, because it's a bit problematic in areas where there is no maintenance. But I think we are happy just to see there's so much budget for maintenance in Gauteng here. Something commendable. And of course, you have just confirmed what National Treasury was saying about how trade, which is very useful. Let's thank you. I just hope that in the third quarter we'll be able to see this better picture. I think it must be summing up a bit. These risky departments, it would be nice just to talk to them so that also you firm up the projection in that province. The suspense account, can you also deal with that? If you're encountering problems, let's talk about that. What is also interesting here is that whilst you are different provinces, you also have different slogans or themes, I'm not sure. The other one is the heartland of Southern Africa. Stroke development is about people. The other one, a better housing is in the making, and so on and so on. The Free State is quiet, it says nothing. The Western Cape is home for all. Ikapa Elikumaji. I can't believe this. Is this about Cape Town or the province?
because it should be impound or Elishumai. Pick up Elishumai, take down. Can you take him off?
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, thank you very much. My apologies for the hard copy coming late. The table of contents is the conditional grant spending. I'll go to page 3, which is the conditional grant spending tabular form, which indicates that Limpopo Province has spent 38% of the total conditional grant as at the 30th of September 2007. There is no improvement on the conditional grant spending when comparing to zero.
You see what the problem here, Mr. Truly? I think it's one member has raised this thing. It's the balance between service delivery and the personal spending. No, I'm just saying this because you just said that that spending is 38%. And yet if you look at the personal spend, sky high. Terrible. Proceed, sir.
We acknowledge that, Chairperson. The following conditional grants are a cause for concern because the spending is even less than 42%, which is the norm that we would expect the departments to have spent by the end of August. HIV AIDS in education, which is an ongoing problem. FET, colleges, and the National Schools Nutrition Program. Housing, integrated housing, sports, is mass sports at 80%, library services at 5%, agriculture. Our concern is that we'll be moving this money, Chairperson, of the infrastructure grant that is given to us. As you can see, they've only spent 1%. Health is the NTSG. When it comes to capital spending, Chair, again, you will see that our spend is only at 27.7%. The poor spending patterns demonstrated by departments are agriculture 11%, health 38%, transport 20%, and housing 23%. We had not mentioned it, but as you can see in the slide, education has projected an overspend of 146 million rand in capital. As far as monitoring capacity is concerned, the provincial treasury is constantly supporting departments in implementing the business plan by having ongoing bilaterals. We monitor monthly reports and report the shortcomings on spending, assist departments in recruiting skilled and capable staff, and compliance is adhered to by submitting of the monthly reports, the IYMs. We are now instituting a method that, as is done in the Eastern Cape, Chairperson, where we meet with the CFO and the head of department after the 15th to discuss the IYMs. The reasons for the underspending by the departments, we wrote letters to the departments to tell them that we needed to know why they were underspending with regard to the conditional grant. I won't go into what each department says, but there is an explanation here for all the honourable members to read. Just an infrastructure grant for the province. The latest approval of Merikas is a grant that we give to farmers to actually subsidize the purchase of tractors so that they are able to do plowing in their fields. So that is one of the, can I call it an excuse that the Department of Agriculture is giving to us. The integrated human settlement program, they tell us that it was due to the subsidy quantum coming late.
If the reasons, we'll get those reasons from them.
Sure.
But I'm worried. Looking at this one. Scandal. You may switch off. You may wind up, but I'm sure I'm very worried looking at the picture that you just presented.
Chairperson, I think we conclude by just giving you an indication of the reasons for department's understanding. And that's just detail. Thank you, Chair.
My friend, what do you think?
No, I just want to take the part of treasury at meeting with them. In our case,
this is what I'm saying. What do you think?
Again, as I say in the beginning, I'm the HODs of the HODs in the meetings with them. I'm concerned, and I must say, stresses again, the political commitment into the synagogue. Say, really, the purpose of the agriculture problem. And to see this, when agriculture come and report here, they gave it glorious, a smart report. And when you go into what they spend, and I know agriculture is in the purpose, they can't spend that money in the first 3 months. There's nothing spent. Sport. See, this is a long coming process here. And the HOD will, he agreed with me when he was still in the legislation. Sport is not spending the money. Every time. Now, there's 23 million rand of libraries, as my colleague already mentioned, that here was given to them. There's nothing spent here.
All right, Mr. Parker.
See, and also one issue that I got, and I put up the HOD can is transport.
Let's switch off. You see, the first problem, and this is where we always say provincial treasurers do not assist us. The same question we were asking Gauteng, the basis of allocating the infrastructure grant. Okay? I mean, looking down there, I mean, there's an element of entitlement. If you look at under education, and so on and so on, and yet we know that roads, for instance, have that performance record. There are unresolved matters that you, all of us know as a government in this respect of roads. But now, look at that. And we are saying, firstly, the equitable share itself. Everybody must be evaluated on the performance of the equitable share. Before you even consider giving them more, what the world is clearly. And so I'm saying that's kind of a problem one. Now, they then decided to be innovative. Instead of giving agriculture from the equitable share, they decided to give them from the infrastructure grant. The Bible is clear here. It's roads, it's health, and it's education. It's an innovation. But then the problem of the innovation is that the performance is very low. Again, the basis. But what is the basis? Okay? I'm just worried about, I'm not sure again either. You see, this is another province where we need a broader discussion. I'm not sure whether we would be able to do that. Because if you look at the report of DME, the last report given to us by DME, Department of Minerals and Energy, Mr. Tuli Zandwari, they gave us a report about the performance of those monies in respect of other things. Dwarf, DPLG, and etc. Again, the picture is. So I'm saying, I think we need just to take the whole spectrum into account when we discuss with some of these departments. Same applies to Northwest. There are huge problems of underperformance in respect of municipalities, the money is GME, Dwarf, and so this is why I was also raising that aspect. Province and municipalities. So I'm saying we might want to, again, to have a broader discussion with this province. You have huge challenges as a brand new HOT, and we wish you well in this responsibility. And I think, as my colleague was saying there, Fondance, we've been raising issues with the MEC of sport. We don't want people to. You are not going to respond to these things. I think we shall have to use this engagement with the respective MECs. I think we were trying to be ourselves, to be giving a giving space to everybody. Just to say, let's talk at the end of the second quarter. Because we did not want to be funny during the first quarter because it's planning stages and so on and so on. But this feature is then showing you that there are serious problems. In 6 months. 6 months. Now, is there a matter of life and death? None.
good afternoon, members of the Parliament. I'm going to go to page 3, Chair. That's where we start with the conditional grant allocations and transfers for 2007-2008. And then I'll start on the top of page 4 in terms of a handout. Now, what we can see, Chair, is that what we've actually done is, in the presentation, we've given the allocations per DORA. Then we've indicated the payment schedule in terms of how much we've received from National. And then we've indicated how much money have we actually spent on the money that we've actually received from National. Now, what you will pick up in the presentation is that...
I'm sorry, Chair, but it's really the writing here. The change is so minute. I'm struggling to see.
Okay. Can you talk, but can you also try and not save money on our account on the FEMA? Some of these men and women are elderly.
Apology for that, Chair. Thanks a lot. Chair, what you will see on the top, the first line on the top of page 4, is that if we look at in aggregate on education, we've spent 115% of the money that we've received from National, so we've actually spent more money. Okay, in terms of health, we've spent about 101%. And what we already want to indicate at this stage that there's already early indications that the Department of Health might overspend the budget because there's very good spending on the infrastructure side, especially the two hospitals in Paul and in Worcester. But what we're doing from a treasury perspective, we're having discussions with them obviously to see how they can remain within their budget. If one look at the housing grant Chair, we've spent 435 million and we've only received about 400 million from National. What I probably need to indicate here is that these amounts exclude a 226 million rollover of the housing grant put into Gateway. And we are currently in discussion with the Department of Housing, you know, to look at, you know, what the Department of Housing can do.
Are you saying on page 5 that on the provincial infrastructure you spend 150.4%? No, up to the 30th of September.
Chair, what we're saying in terms of the provincial infrastructure grant, if you go to, we've spent 115% of what we've received. So we've spent more.
And school nutrition, 104.5.
School nutrition, 104.5 effectively also means, on what page are you?
Okay, 105.
It effectively means here that we spend more money than the cash that we've actually received.
Oh,
so we more or less
have got different neighbors. Yeah, I've got the beautiful home. All right.
Yeah.
All right, proceed.
That's here. What we've done is that we've given you a full version, the bigger version. So, sorry for that. Okay, if you then go on here to page 6 of the presentation, that's a 3-4 page. You will see that transport and public works have spent about 134% of their budget, and we must actually say that this year specifically we have good spending on roads and infrastructure generally. How we've allocated our infrastructure grant for the purpose of the members is we've given 20% to education, we've given 20% to health, because health also gets a revitalization grant, which is also infrastructure related. And the Department of Transport actually gets 60% of the grant because most of the money actually goes towards road spending in the province. So in terms of the problems that we're having as Treasury, we've got low spending in agriculture, that's both on costs and also on the land care program. That's a concern for us. And the issues there are just really the consultation processes with communities. But I think this is an annual thing and we probably need to do some work from our side to address those issues. The other low-spending grants are the grants at Cultural Affairs and Sports. That's the Community Library Services grant. Now, that's a new grant that's been introduced, and that grant, in essence, needs to cover for additional personnel at libraries. And the only reason why that grant has been spent at about 59%
I'm talking 47%, that's lower than the 50%, is the fact that municipalities, the municipal financial year only starts in June. So the province could only start to make transfer payments from June up to September. But we're on the Department of Cultural Affairs because, I mean, the libraries need to be stocked with personnel that need to service the public out there. And then one would also see that the mass sport grant has been spent at about 63%, even though it's a small grant. In terms of, if you look at the bottom of page 7, Chair, that's the last slide, we're also indicating the infrastructure spend in the province. And up to now, we spend more than 50%, we spend 53% of our entire infrastructure budget up to the end of September. So I think as a treasury, we are satisfied with the processes in place. And in terms of our monitoring and evaluation role as a treasury on page 8, that's the middle slide, we have continuous engagements with departments. We report, we write tablet submissions or submissions to our executive on a quarterly basis, where we actually inform them about the spending levels and the rigorous interaction between the Premier and each of the MECs and the HODs on these different numbers. Well, there's quarterly meetings between MEC Brown and the counterparts in education, health and public works to specifically address spending and infrastructure stuff. And then, you know, we have the normal CFO forums, and then we also have the detailed discussions with the departments, especially the infrastructure departments, about spending throughout the year and not necessarily spending in the last month of the financial year to create the March spike phenomenon. So that's where we're standing more or less here. As I indicated, those are more or less the problem areas that we identified in treasury. But overall, I think as a treasury, we're more or less satisfied with the level of spending that's happening in the province. Thanks.
Let's go. Questions? They're finishing all the money. Yes, madam. Open them. Is that so? I don't think so. You see the problem here? No, the problem here is the risk when people overspend. It's a huge risk. And for me, I think that's a big problem. Because it tells another story. The opposite of that story is understanding, but it's a huge risk. Because part of the problem is the visibility, and so on and so on. But then the problem again is, how does that relate to planning? If there's this huge overspending. Is planning in sync with that kind of spending? If you're looking at the kinds of risks that are there, I think I can't comment that. It's a terrible picture for me. Well, part of the problem is that there's no bailout. There's no bailout. And so how do you deal with that? Then somewhere along the line, you must just stop everything. And so how do you handle those things? Some sort of thing. It can be seen as people want to comment, people here. There's another interesting issue which I'm not sure whether National Treasury might want to talk to at a higher level now. On the one hand, health is trying to provincialize health services. And here, library services are localized. Now, I suspect there was a reason for trying to provincialize services which were initially localized, health services. And so, you know, it's a funny phenomenon. It's a to and fro kind of situation which does not resolve the problem. How do we deal with that? We have problems of municipalities doing other things, IDPs and other things, and therefore libraries and so on and so on. But then here you are, there are issues of clinics, hospitals, and therefore health is provincializing on the one hand, and so on. How do we deal with it? And health at a broader level. Mr. Colwell.
Chairperson, I just observed on the monitoring provincial expenditure comment where they talk of meeting some MDCs, finance, education, health and all that, but agriculture is not included, whereas when I look at it down there, it's not performing in the right way. So why do they exclude it?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think that the issue of the distribution of or disbursement of the your provincial infrastructure grant, what is the new name? Not big now. Oh, it's not big now anymore. IGP. Okay. We hear that the education department was allocated 20% of that, 20% of that. But what are the basis of that? Why is it that they are just allocated to 20%, 20% everybody? Is it in line with how they spend, and the transport department is given 50%? Is it in line with the requirement of the of DORA, for instance, that it should be dispersed that way? I don't understand, Chairperson. Because even the other departments, your education and health, they're still spending, but they're given just 20%. I think somebody just said there and said we'll give them 20% and what? Then the question is, why this type of allocation, for instance, not the other way around? Thanks.
Thank you. I'd like to comment on the risk of overspending in the health department. From the provincial treasury side, there's definitely no bailout to the Department of Health. We've indicated that to them, and that's why we're having regular discussions with the Department of Health to ensure that they actually remain within the budget, especially on the hospital revitalization side. In terms of the exclusion of agriculture into the MEC's meeting, the meeting between MEC Finance, MEC Transport, Public Works and Education and Health has specifically been set up for the infrastructure related stuff. On a technical basis, Dr. Sackman is the head of the department and ourselves, we get together with the Department of Agriculture and we talk about the underspending on those two grants. For us, it's actually a concern, and I think one of the problems that you have of the Western Cape specifically is the different time lapses in terms of when people can actually plant and when people can actually plow, etc. So all those things actually affect the spending on the ground. But we know it's a concern, and we're actually doing everything in our effort to actually try and resolve the issue. The distribution on the infrastructure grant is that we look at all issues that are happening in these different departments, like the spending levels at the specific level. What we're also doing with the Department of Education, we've actually allocated money from our equitable share to augment infrastructure spending. Okay? So there's a lot of money within the Department of Education, in the Department of Health, that specifically deals with infrastructure related spending. So there's a different augmentation of the infrastructure grant that actually comes on the provinces. But we can, again, with this upcoming budget process, possibly look at the different mechanism, given the comments that's been made here today, Chair.
Okay, I think I know both your MECs. In fact, the lady Mrs. Robinson decided not to say it, I'm not sure why. Was she forever angry with me for not allowing that discussion? I suspect she should want to raise that with the sector, health, forever anger with me. Well, I'm fine, she did not raise it, I'm not going to allow her to raise it now. No, no. Point is, she's not raising the question you are raising now. And I think that's it. But then the other problem is the flat rate that's between health and education, the kind of measurement that you're using. But I also know that the MEC education, again, would be very strong about classes and schools. I think the last time he was before us, he was talking about a school that was built in some area which was kind of environmentally unfriendly. That's another matter. So I think we shall have to monitor those things carefully, all of them. Treasury, do you want to have Dr. Sula, do you have anything to say?
I'm really sure that I think most of the broad observations I have that are made are actually spot on and actually deals with the issues at hand. One of the things that we need to take note of is that the understanding reflected here has still not taken into consideration the amount of money that will be rolled over in the adjustment estimate, no new funds that will be given. And in that light, I think we need to just be wary of whether the departments really have the capacity to spend additional funds that will be made available, particularly seeing that these new monies come so late in the financial year.
Correct. This is a whole range of things to consider. In terms of our ongoing engagement, we have... This time, this is why these reports always start on the audit outcomes. Our approach is that we're not really calling everybody en masse as we did. There are very specific people that we must talk to, and we're talking to two issues. Having looked at the audit outcomes, the first thing we're talking to in terms of the sectors is understanding. Some of them have understood. The second one we're talking to is overspending. We know, for instance, there's a huge Department of Education that is overspent hugely. But we also know that there is a Roads and Public Works Department that is also overspent hugely. So these are some of the things we're trying to say. Generally, we don't want to speak to everybody in the general sense as we've been doing. We don't want to focus on these that we call our in the ICU a bit for a change. So that some of the questions members were raising earlier must be directed to those that we think are really ill. And then we will take it from there so that then we have a picture of the third quarter. Because I think the third quarter is going to be decisive. Dr. Suklal is right. There's the assessment period that is also coming. And whether then departments are ready to absorb some of this new money that is coming. And so, I mean, having also looked at these other mechanisms, the conditional grants that are here, that are understanding, and yet people are going to be given more money in the adjustments, how do we deal with this whole range of things? So clearly it's a very big challenge that we must be looking at. I think the third quarter is going to be decisive. A public hearing that we shall hold, because it takes into account these streams, all of them: initial budget, main budget, the supplementary issues, conditional grants, the adjustment. And mind you, part of the adjustment might be surrendered back. So there's a whole range of things that we shall be looking at that time, and I think it's going to be interesting to engage, especially the sector department, because again it's going to come back to this planning issue members are raising all the time. If somebody had gone and asked for more funding, had they planned properly that they needed the money, that they looked at their absorptive capacity. On that note, I don't see a matter of life and death. We're meeting here tomorrow, same time, to deal with transport, roads and transport. Thank you, sir.
The matter of life and death is just commending your new...